Hello, guys. This episode is being brought to you by Bevel, the first and the only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly, nappy hair, and sensitive skin as well. So for all of you brothers and sisters, and brother-like sisters, whatever, look, get into Bevel. It has saved me a whole lot of hell with razor bumps, with irritated skin, with dry skin, and all of that stuff. It looks fantastic, like something James Bond would use. You got to get into it. So go to getbevel.com, use code THEREED, and you'll get 20% off your first month. Let them know we sent you, and let's start the show. I don't have a song today.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Do you want to try to do the remix of the Golden Girls theme song? And I can do the background, because you know I can't sing.
Well, I can't either.
Are you kidding? Yes, you can. Every time you sing on the intro, somebody hits us up. No, a bunch of people hit us up and be like, Kid Fury needs to put out a mixtape because I hear him and I can tell that nigga can sing. So
that's
tell
a very
him to quit fucking around.
Kind lie.
You know you can sing. You know you can.
What?
Okay.
Anyway.
We'll work on it.
I was actually going to just play that.
Oh, were you?
I was just going to play the video for two reasons. A, I believe that the young man who did that is an American hero.
He is.
And B, so all of you at home can know that I have seen it. I have seen it so many times. Very, very, very many.
I replayed it like probably hundreds of times. I cannot get enough of it. I hope he puts out a whole full-length YouTube video of him
featuring
doing the
Fantasia
whole thing.
Barrino.
Okay. You know what? I had not considered that, but now that you said it, I can definitely hear it.
My God, magic.
And the two of them would tear that the fuck up. That would just... That's some Patti LaBelle throw your shoes off type shit right there.
B. Arthur would come back to life and totally dab.
Because in that little 15-second clip, that young sir went in. And you could tell he had been doing the whole song. And was just like, let me put this on Instagram real quick while I'm fucking around. He did. Yes. That voice was anointed, child. He hit that that note change.
The biggest gift.
At the end. And I cried.
And it was the biggest gift.
It was. Beautiful.
So,
soul-stirring experience.
I am Dorothy Zbornak.
Okay. And I am Bo Johnson.
And this is The Read.
I feel like maybe, were you Bo recently? Did you introduce yourself as her? Or
I
maybe we just talk
didn't.
About Blackish every episode because we love it so much.
Oh, fuck. It comes back tonight.
It's back tonight. It was preempted last week. I was right for the Country Music Awards.
Which
felt like racism.
But you know what? I'll let
but
them
it's
have
fine.
The Country
right.
Music Awards.
Right.
It's totally fine.
It's
like, that's
fine.
For, you know, country
but it just felt
sales.
But Blackish was kicked off for the country. I mean, it just...
It's okay.
It's fine, but I felt right. a way. I did.
Scream Queens got kicked off for
right.
the
Everybody,
World Series.
Right.
And that show...
So did Empire.
Definitely teeters around racism.
So.
But it's okay. Because they
it is
be making
fine.
Some jokes on there that it's like, oh, you know, we're just laughing.
See, I don't really like campy shit, and I tried to get through Scream Queens, but I'm not
really,
really into that
stupid.
Whole corny, cheesy, over the top, like...
And Niecy Nash is
I love her.
She's you know, a lot of people feel like Niecy Nash is cooning out on that show, but I feel like she's just funny and she improvs like hell. She's
yeah.
amazing at improv, and she just does a great, like, she's the only reason
that you watch it
for me to go, because she makes me laugh. Like, she's hilarious.
Yeah, she is hilarious.
So
but
anyway,
yeah, Blackish does come back tonight. So hype.
Black excellence, then.
Okay. My goodness.
This week in Black excellence.
So many candidates.
Very clearly, I'm giving it to Jonathan Butler and all of the folks at Mizzou. Is that how they say it?
Mizzou, yeah. Mizzou.
All of the people at that school who have been protesting, who have been marching, who have been... You know, the athletic team, the football team.
The football team stuff.
All of the people who have been demanding justice and demanding that white eyes on that campus pay attention to injustice and mm-hmm. all of the ridiculousness that has been taking place at that school. I'm so incredibly proud of you all. I'll get more into that later.
Yeah.
But, you know, I watched lots of clips of, you know, the coverage. Jonathan Butler went on a hunger strike and they, you know, jumped into the middle of this parade and did all of these things because they had all of these racist acts taking place on the campus in the 2015. And it just felt like, you know, nobody wanted to do anything about it. So, you know, I'm very proud of you guys. I think that you did an awesome job and you showed that, you know, we can make a difference and you're awesome.
Yes, shout out to Concerned Student 1950 or 1950, however y'all are saying it. I just think that y'all are doing such a good job and I'm proud of you.
All right, so we have special guests with us in the studio this week.
We do.
We're going to bring them in. So, in the studio with us right now.
Thank you.
From a great group, a comedy group, Dormtainment. We've got Mike and we've got Tay.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, man.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Shout out to the bottle of Hennessy y'all brought with you.
Yeah. That's how we roll.
I appreciate that.
So into it.
Kid Fury had to decline.
You know, I'm doing this health and wealth bullshit right now.
You're on this clean eating shit.
I feel like I should just do the Trick Daddy thing. Because you never know. I could get hit by a bus when we leave here.
You could.
But and then I would have been mad I didn't have no Hennessy.
You could also start swelling up and retaining water and all of the kind of shit. Like, maybe you should just
who knows?
Keep it simple.
What is the Trick Daddy thing?
We're going to get right into it.
Okay, okay. All right.
No more questions about the
Trick Daddy thing until we get to okay.
We'll get there.
Your presence is what we're going to talk about first. Yeah. We had Rome and Cam.
Yeah,
on the show last time.
A few months back.
Right.
Also, before you go, I have Rome's iPod charger iPhone charger.
Okay. Have you had it this whole time?
Yeah, because I don't steal. And I just want to make that sure. Like, I just want that to be clear to
everybody.
Sorry,
that would have been mine.
I'm the type of. Either way.
Did you put a reminder in your calendar? Like,
no, I just left it in my sock drawer.
Okay.
And I was like, if and when I see that nigga again,
he's
getting
this
back. I'll keep your shit for a decade.
Right.
And be like, here it
is,
because I don't steal. I don't have to.
And see, one of the group members, Chaz, I used his charger just like a few minutes ago, and he lost it. I think DJ Bree had it. But he came to the room. Hey, yo, you see my charger?
Right.
And I was
exactly.
like, no, like, you know, because I'm from Detroit. Like, people going to think I'm a steal and shit. So
right.
I got to watch out.
Dustin would know how that feels.
Yeah.
So, feel guilty.
Y'all, first of all, I want to talk about Six Guys, One Car.
First, can I talk about how we found out about y'all?
Please.
The origin of it starts right here.
Okay.
You know, right,
okay.
Right in this seat right here.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
All
right.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe like a year and a half or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had an ex, you know, so, and she was a big fan of you guys, big fan. She said, you ever listen to The Read?
Okay.
And I said, nah, what's that? She was like, Kid Fury, dude from Miami. And, cause you know, I'm from Miami. And
right.
She said, Crystal, they talk about everything. Cause you know, she into Desperate Housewives and all that stuff. So I'm like,
okay.
That's how you know men don't be paying attention.
Right.
Attention.
First episode, I was like, yeah, these my niggas. You know why? You know who y'all read once? Sierra. And I was like, yep.
Why Sierra?
Wait, why do you have this?
I don't fuck with Sierra.
Why, you
what?
Don't have,
why not?
Y'all read her, so why
not? I mean, she be making
reason.
Crazy decisions.
You see what I'm saying? Same thing. Everything y'all was saying, I was like, these my niggas. I love this station.
You can't give her the credit for the joint she did with Ludacris?
Whoa. I give Ludacris the credit.
She did a few with Ludacris.
I mean, Sierra had bangers. Don't do that.
She had bangers.
It's not about her music. And that's the thing.
Okay.
Well, what is it about?
Her life decisions. Like
that's the worst.
Say.
Right, exactly.
Man, she had a bomb ass picture last week.
Okay.
What,
well, I mean, her body does look amazing.
That picture of her. Did you see the picture of her on the beach on
them
vacation?
Them on vacation, her on that rock.
With him with that one soft hand on her thigh that he really clearly didn't
like,
want to have there.
Look at y'all.
I don't believe it.
What's the plan behind that? That whole relationship.
It ain't no plan.
To get invited to lots of red carpets.
Okay.
In my opinion. Strategy.
I think she just wants a daddy for that baby. Because Future
he
ain't
wants
it.
A beard.
Really? I mean, I see it, but
wait,
don't
why would
Russell.
She want a beard?
He wants a beard.
He wants a real beard.
Well, he
not
can just
a beard.
Grow one.
No, that's not.
Oh.
Urban Dictionary.
Oh.
Beard, yeah. You know the other beard.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad that you liked what you heard. I never know. I don't know or understand why anybody listen to this shit.
Exactly. So I got to tell y'all, because we feel the same way. Sometimes, why y'all watch our shit? Shit boring.
Why even watch Adore Entertainment on YouTube for like a minute? And I've always been impressed with not only the comedy and the quality of the comedy itself, but then like the shots and the things. I remember that one sketch where y'all did where it opened up into like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or some shit. And I was like, how would you think of this first one? And then to actually do it. Very impressive. So
Shout out to y'all.
It means a lot.
Y'all have, you have season two.
Yes.
Of Six Guys, One Car on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
Right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Y'all look like, yes, we're very excited.
I binge watched it. I thought that it was obviously hilarious. What did you want to bring to this season that you may not have got to do last time?
I feel like we wanted to bring more character. Like, we had to make sure that they heard our voices and were like, hey, this guy's like this. This guy's like this.
Right.
You know, like, these are the type of things we may or may not face, you know, and like, it was a back and forth, because you know we had to, you got to make them understand. They're not going to understand certain nuances about what's going to make.
You
certain
mean
people
the network
fun.
Didn't really understand?
No,
certain
I
things,
can't.
Or?
I can't say it was just the network, you know, because it's, you know, it's a back of
it's a
thing.
Create like it's in a creative, it's a creative process. It doesn't just, it's six of us first of all,
right?
Exactly. And just to get a skit out from all of us sometimes be hell, you know what I'm saying? Like no, I don't think, you know.
Yeah.
But then six of us now got to come in with one idea, and when we come to a decision, now we got to go into a room with 10 other people,
right?
And then they might say, you know, they might have a different opinion on it. So it's all of that collaboration and finding that sweet spot between what we find funny and what they find funny, and sometimes having to bring them over to our side and be like, look, this is what's hot right now. This is what people are talking about. Trust me, we need to say this.
Right.
Yeah. Like, all right, we'll trust you guys on this one.
Y'all don't know how hard I had to fight for Fuck 12. At the end of the night, like, I had to fight for Fuck 12. Because I knew that, you know, like, with the whole thing, like, I was mad worried, yo, like, about the police thing, the SWAT thing.
Yeah.
You never know if you're going to trigger the wrong people and all that type of stuff. But I knew that I could be funny if you structure the story a certain way.
Right.
And I'm glad that it's in there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I got clowned at the end, but but I mean, like, shoot, that was crazy. You can have that. I get Fuck 12. Like, here we go.
So what was the, I feel like this is a real basic ass question, but what was your favorite episode from this season to do?
Mine is the manager episode. I think the episode two that just came out on Snapchat today. Episode two. We interview all the managers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why it's my favorite is because of Slink. He killed his part. He came
the
in
one
and
who
gave
was
us
high.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you don't know, that's Black Jesus as well.
Yeah.
That's where the fuck I knew him from. I was like, who is this dude?
I know this face.
Yeah. Okay. That
and
makes
he came
sense.
In. You know when you come to somebody's house, like how I brought some honey?
Right.
Yeah.
And you got to come with more. You got to come out here. I brought this for you, not just me. But he came, and not only did he give us the lines that we wrote for him, but he came with extra.
Wish y'all could see the outtakes of what this man was doing.
Y'all should release
y'all
them.
Could see. Oh my God.
I want to know who the landlord is.
Miss Pat. She's just like that. Worse.
You will not believe the stories.
So you cleaned
her
up in the script.
Right. Yeah, yo.
And that was actually her very first time acting.
Yeah, really?
She's just a, like, she's a comedian.
Okay.
And she travels. Like, she's big in another, not in our realm, like, in the white market. Like, actually, like, they fuck with her.
Yeah.
Like, because she's just so real.
Right.
And at her first, when she came on set, she was, like, a little nervous. She was, like, reading the lines a little funny. And then we went to break, and then she just started talking to us and telling us about this shit. Like, I told you I used to deal drugs. I told you I was missing a nipple. We was like, use that. Everything else that's in that script, forget it. Do that.
Right.
She was like, you want me to say this? I was like, say just like how you saying it. Do that. And she was just naturally like crazy and funny, and her stories were ridiculous.
Right. She had a bunch of crazy ass one liners.
Yeah.
Well, I know you guys have a show in the city tomorrow, right? And it's sold out.
And Gramercy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you for helping us with that. We heard the plug that I put on y'all.
No problem.
That's probably y'all that helped to get sold out.
How does that feel, though? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
We've been doing, like, we designed our show to be big, you know, so this, I'm not going to, we're excited. I don't think, are you nervous?
Nah.
I'm nervous.
Mike is like, I got nervous.
You don't get nervous.
Nah, I don't think, man, I get anxious. I want to get out there. I want to deliver. But I feel like when you're nervous, man, it comes from lack of preparation. So we've been doing this since we've been doing skits. A lot of people don't know we've been doing shows just as long as we've been doing skits.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it comes to a point where it's like, yo, we've been doing this for a minute now. The only thing left to do is just prepare, make sure we prepared and just do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And we know the jokes work. We know, like, we're to a point now where we might put out some stuff that's not all the time always funny. But we know when something's going to hit. And we know they're going to laugh at that.
Right.
So we don't really worry about them. They might not laugh.
Yeah.
No, we know when someone's going to laugh at something.
I
think that preparation probably does have a lot to do with nerves. Me, I don't care. So I don't get nervous before shows. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Well, I mean, I do. But that's more because our show is not, like, rehearsed. Mm-hmm. Everything we say is just completely off the cuff. So we don't really get the benefit of being able to go rehearse, you know, and just kind of do the show together a few times before we go out and do it.
But y'all don't need it.
Well, I appreciate that, but that just means that my nerves are terrible before every single live show that we do. So I'm kind of like asking every creative, like, what do you do to get past that anxiety? Because it fucks me up bad. So, but y'all don't even experience it in the first place. So.
I think you don't have to worry about it, because, like, when we came to y'all show in L.A., like, those people were there for y'all. You know what I'm saying? And just when y'all come out, it's already, like, they're probably more nervous than you just to see y'all.
I feel so.
Honestly, you could feel the tension in the room before, like, y'all came out. It was like, where are these niggas at?
We ain't never out there for that.
And that's the thing, like shows like this and, like, comedy shows and stuff. Like, before, you would have to be on stage and you felt like, okay, if I'm about to be judged. But now you can build up a fans and following, and you can be like, yo, like, these people are going to fuck with me off top.
Right.
All I got to do is deliver, you know?
Yeah. There's something kind of special about the social media age and how you get to sort of build your fan base and then structure shows around them instead of trying to find somebody to put you on to, like, a random show and introduce you to a whole new audience.
It's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
I talked to someone, like, the Instagram people in LA out there trying to do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, like what we doing online is we're saying who we want to be. Like, the stuff you put out, the stuff you say, that's what you find funny. That's who you are, right? So when people see that, when people find you, when people say, I want you to do this for me, they know that's what you're going to do. That's what I'm getting you for.
Right.
So it's not like you got to go out and play a role that you're not. It's like, nah, I see who you are. This is what you're great at. Why would I want you for anything else but
exactly.
that? So you just, like, we're in a time now where we can set the platform for ourselves before we even step out.
Right. So I want to know, from your perspective, is L.A. as drastic as it's depicted on
You trying to
Six
move?
Guys, One Guard? I mean...
Trying to get out?
That's nobody's business.
Because winter's coming.
Who knows? You know what I'm saying?
You do good in L.A., man.
I mean, we'll see what happens eventually.
Florida boys, man, we
no
do good
promises.
In L.A.
Yeah. That climate is a lot.
I was
going to
say,
similar.
The winter alone ought to be worth it. Like, shit. Trying to deal with the East Coast. Have you been to New York in January, February?
It's colder in L.A. at night right now than it is here.
That's what I saw, though, that L.A. is getting down to, like, 48
really?
Degrees.
Yeah.
See, I can do cold at night. Because I'll be in the fucking house anyway. It's fine.
I can't do a high of 28. That is...
No, all day.
Whoa.
I can't just
that's unfamiliar.
Yeah, right. I'm sure it does, coming from Miami.
Yeah, but is it real crazy in terms of...
Well, see, the thing is that we moved out to L.A. and we had, like, a certain level of... We were known by some people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, to some people, you're like... You're a celebrity, and the other people, you're like fucking nothing.
Right.
You know, so it is like that big ass. We want to put more of our stories out into the series because it's crazy. It's crazy. It's
Man, we met a lot of characters.
We met so many.
Honestly, all those people you see in our episodes are based off somebody.
So that was my next question.
I already know what you're about to ask.
Are these real people?
Is Larry based on somebody? You don't have to say if it is or who it is. I just wanted to know if that was like based on the actual person.
You know what I think? I think Larry is an amalgamation of like 20 different people.
Okay,
I can see that. And so I we seen the comments. Everybody say, "Oh, is it King Batch?
No,
oh,
not no, at
is
all.
It, is it King Batch? Oh no, no, it's Spoken Reasons. They had beef with Spoken Reasons back then. Nah, yo, there's none. Neither one of them. You know, right. it's just how
we see. Like honestly, we see ourselves as the underdogs of all of this. Like we kind of not to sound arrogant or nothing, but we started a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
Right. And we've watched other people like, get on quicker. And it's not like we were like, man, them niggas, dog, man, we don't like this shit. But we were like, damn, is it us? Like,
right.
What we doing
wait, you
wrong?
You say that?
I did say that once. That was another time.
In a low moment.
Yeah, I'm in the house like, man, fuck you. But nah. But now it's like, it does represent like just how we feel about Dormtainment. And we know that where we going is great. And it's going to take a little longer to get there, and it's going to take a little more work. But, you know, we still feel like, damn, maybe is it going too slow sometimes?
Right.
Is everybody else getting it quick? Are we the one? Is something wrong with us? So that is a little insecurity of us, and that's why we got to put it in this show so you get to see something real about like what we think about in the house, like just us.
Because all that shit real. Well, not all of it ain't. It ain't all of it ain't real, but there's
real-ish.
There's real-ish elements to there,
right.
And it's a little embarrassing. That shit's a little embarrassing, but it feels like if you can embarrass yourself and put it on that screen, you gonna get a W.
People can relate to
people can get, yo. Like
everybody has those moments.
Every skit that we write that we embarrass the hell out of ourselves.
Yeah,
best skits.
I got a skit called Tay East Butt that everybody knows me for.
Yep.
It pains me to my core. It pains me.
That this people is, know you for that.
Hey, you eat butt, right? Like, I'm like, come on, man. Like, it's 2 years ago, man. Chill out. But, you know, but it's like, you know, like that moment and right there, that shit was special to people and they thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So it's
right.
I ain't shame.
Right. Cool. I feel like more and more people are starting to. Straight people anyway.
Right.
I started to admit that they do that. I feel like, live your life. You know what I'm saying? People have
I've been talking about eating ass all week and I'm kind of over it as a topic.
See, that's where the skit came from because they always tease me because I'd be like, nah, yo, like, I'm not into that. And they'd be like, man, you got to get on this, man. Like, I said,
you haven't been in true love yet. And when you see a woman... My thing is,
I don't mean love, bro.
When you have a woman, you want to do anything to her, every and anything. You no limits. That's when you like, man, this the one right here, and that's you. I eat her toe.
But I eat a toe before I eat ass.
I eat in between a toe. I eat behind her ear, whatever. Okay. Like I want to eat everything on her.
All right,
that's not.
But it's only been once or twice in my life since I've came across a woman like that.
So. Okay, well.
Okay, so you had to put that modifier, that qualifier.
I feel like people should know that. Sure.
All right, well.
Well, congratulations,
Crystal is
ma'am.
Not feeling. She's exhausted from these conversations.
I've literally been talking about it all week long. I just did this with Charlamagne's ass on Uncommon Sense, talking about eating
ass. You just
ass
ate it,
just,
or you just...
Oh, wow, okay. I phrased that horribly. Just, goddamn, that was so bad.
Open.
No, I just sat on a panel and discussed this very topic, so kind of over the whole concept. I just...
Yeah, I think it's gone. That it's kind of...
It's a bacteria. Thing for me. I don't That's trust I that most people are clean enough
bacteria.
For me to do that.
It doesn't matter about whether you're clean or not. You can wipe and scrub all
no,
day.
No. I'm talking about sterilizing. I'm talking about throwing an antibacterial into the wash so that you can kill the E. coli in and around your anus.
Okay, so there's
I'm
E.
talking
coli.
Clinically.
Right.
Because I have a fear of germs and of getting sick and of feces especially.
Right,
and
right,
so I just know, especially eating a man's ass, I just know y'all not shaving nothing back there. Y'all not rinsing nothing out. I know this.
It.
See?
How do we get here?
Because I don't want pink eye. I don't want strep throat.
It's okay. So, I'm not even
going to. Your tongue going to be white.
I was like, bitch, I got thrush? What you been doing? So
season three. Can we look forward to season three? And when are we transitioning into television?
Man.
Hopefully that's season three.
Yeah. But like, see, that's the thing. Like, if people watch it enough, they react enough, you click that like button enough, you comment enough, you leave enough positive messages about what you did, like, it's a possibility it could happen. I mean, we're looking at the numbers. Look at, I hope, you know, I can't speak on it because it's their decision, you know?
Right.
On whether they think that it can, you know, be a show that can
last, right?
Comedy Central, you know damn well this can and should be on TV.
Right.
Just go on ahead and
quit bullshitting.
We got to start a hashtag, then we can. That's fine with me.
Comedy Central, quit bullshitting.
Right. Hashtag quit bullshitting.
Is that Coke for the Hennessy?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
Would you like some more Hennessy?
Man, actually, you know what? I don't mind if I do.
We came late. We came with the Hennessy.
I mean, listen. We're going to talk about more. This is just fine. This is perfectly fine.
I want to let y'all know I'm out here catching trains. Ain't nothing.
Are you?
You kind of proud of
Ain't
yourself?
Nothing. Yes, I caught a train by myself today.
Did it smell like piss?
Nah. But someone tried to sell. Someone asked for money twice. Okay. I gave it to the black dudes who performed, though, because they earned it.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, if you're going to give it to somebody, at least give it to somebody who gave you a show.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I see that.
But they be trying to kick you in your goddamn temple and shit.
Right. Now, when y'all doing all these flips and shit. Now, listen, young lady. My glasses shifted that last time. I'm going to need y'all to get it the fuck together. Like, they do
somebody
too much
really
sometimes.
Did kick you?
Well, like, they get close enough to you to where, like, if your sneaker debris is flying in my face, chill out.
Is that a part of this?
You can get your fucking face broke.
Yes, you can. If you're in the wrong seat,
that's a part of the show. Like, is it like
it's just a bunch of kids on the train trying to, you know, make some money, really. Yeah, that's all it really is.
It's better than a football team hustle, you know.
Selling candy.
I know about that. We need cleats.
I'm 45 and I need new jerseys for my team.
Exactly.
What team you on, bro? What team you play for, bro?
The Broncos.
Broncos of what, bro?
Broncos of West South.
West South? Uh-huh.
You didn't let me finish, though. The West South High Valley.
Okay. All right. So
this week in a segment that I'm going to call Yes Sir. Now you from Miami, so you know have to know what
Daddy,
that's from.
Man, come
exactly.
On now.
So did
I
you?
I think we all know what that means.
It's like loose.
I don't ever. You know, I don't think that I knew that Trick Daddy was like
that name.
Like, Take It to the House was nationwide at
famous,
least. Yes, absolutely.
Until I was like maybe 17, 18 years old. I thought it was just like some shit that we celebrated.
No, I feel like a whole, like white people included, if they of a certain age, they definitely know who Trick Daddy is. Because he had a whole, him and Trina had their moment.
They had their runs.
They did.
Icon. Yeah. And Trina will have more moments.
Okay, listen, King Miami.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry, Kid Fury. I know you love Trina. I listen to the podcast, man. But I'm
honestly, about to get kicked out.
I know, but I got to keep it real with my dogs.
She will always have moments.
When? Last one was long heels, red bottoms.
Right, exactly.
That was a long time ago. In between then, that was a long time ago before her last hit. Like she
give her Rico Love is producing her next album.
Rico Love needs someone to produce his album.
Trina can work the feminism lane.
We ain't
and
even
she can,
started yet.
Like she can win. She can get her a W.
She can.
She can get her.
Her
a
next
W.
Single is called Fuck Boy.
She can. And white people
happen.
Appropriated that shit. You know,
oh yeah,
like,
white people ruin Fuck Boy real fast.
So like we it's good. Like they got
already?
It. You know?
They got it already.
They got Fuck Boy.
Oh, they got it a while back.
The pipeline from black anything to white people is so fast now because
it
of the
is.
Internet.
So was it Fuck Boy then the whip or was it the whip then Fuck Boy?
I think Fuck Boy.
Fuck Boy was first.
Fuck Boy was first.
Yeah. I missed that one. I didn't know they had that.
Yeah. Oh, they took it a while back.
They got that.
It's been
shit
at least
quick.
6 months.
So and did you see the
when Lena Dunham started calling people Fuck Boys, it was over
on the breakfast. Club.
When was this today?
Nah,
no, a couple days ago.
Oh man, you know we've been traveling and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'll be on the Jets.
Is that our first story? Trick Daddy on the Breakfast Club.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like full story.
I mean, it might. We're basically talking about it now.
Trick Daddy has again brought joy into my life at a time that I needed it with simple words.
That's real. He's also treating his illness with Boom. And you know,
Ciroc and Patron,
and not you know lupus medication.
So
I'm concerned for him is all I'm saying. Like I know he's legendary, but he's not taking care of himself.
Well those are natural remedies.
Are they?
Yeah, he might believe in a more spiritual healing instead of like medicine.
And Patron is very spiritual.
Trick Daddy has had lupus for I think close to a decade, which I knew about. What I did not know was that he wasn't taking the medication for it.
Yeah.
And that he still smokes Boom. Now, white people, Bunk is...
Me too. I don't know what the hell that is.
I don't know what bunk is.
It's Miami. Right, it's Miami shit.
You know what bunk is, Bree? Bree is a resident Miami DJ right here. If you don't know, I don't think a lot of people know.
Hell no, I don't want to holler no motherfucking tricky all over there smelling like bunk and Hennessy and shit.
Bunk and... What do... I thought she was saying like booty or something like...
Nah, bunk is weed laced with cocaine.
Oh.
Yeah. Y'all just call it weed laced with cocaine.
Dirty.
Yeah, yeah, dirty. A dirty blunt.
Yeah.
And y'all call it bunk. And Trick does this?
He has done this consistently for about 20, 25 years.
Probably, you know, right. Probably multiple times a week.
Because well, I mean, man, nigga was what, 97?
Yeah, yeah. And he was talking about it then. And he had been on it then. So it's been a while for Trick Daddy.
Probably a good 30 years.
Well, the fact that he is even still like around to be doing Breakfast Club interviews is kind of amazing.
And
he
looks so bad. Like, you know, I love him, but he looks really sick.
Like, he could use some water and medication.
Yeah, a lot of water.
It's fucking
him up. Well, he's old, though, right?
He's not that old.
He's like a good 32.
I mean, no, he ain't no damn 32.
He's quick.
Now you ain't right for that shit.
He looks sick though. Like he looks like he's sick.
Yeah, he and looks so like he needs to take care of himself.
I thought it was fucking him up. I was like, damn, like lupus is a fucking bitch.
It's the cocaine.
No, he's not taking meds.
He's
and
not
he's
taking
drinking
his medication,
pineapple
right.
Ciroc and smoking weed with coke
for breakfast
every day.
Damn.
After 5 p.m. Like he has his whole thing. He says he don't smoke loud. He smokes quiet. These are verbatim.
But that's real
shit. Because loud is like...
Loud is loud.
Loud is...
Sometimes I'm in a hush-hush mood.
I want to be loud every time. Man.
Niggas who smoke loud have to smoke back-to-back all day long, whereas he could just hit one blunt and he'll be high all day.
No, what that
because
means...
Because it has cocaine in it.
Right.
That means you fucked up your tolerance on that shit, and you can't get high like the rest of us do.
Right.
Loud is just fine for me. I don't even need a whole damn J. Like, I'm good. I don't what?
Yeah, so you got it with you?
I'm like, oh, so you got some weed like in your bag?
Yeah, you know, after the show.
He also talks about eating ass. He said that Tyler Perry... Knowing how to play a woman or homosexual just means that it's natural for him.
What? I mean, maybe.
He talked about Oprah sleeping with Gail. There were a lot of really great quotes.
What?
In there,
Why is Trick Daddy talking about Oprah?
I think it started by him saying something about Oprah donating to build schools in Africa when she didn't build no schools in Chicago. Something like that. You know, there's depth to his madness, sponsored by Bunk. But, you know.
I'm trying to see if he actually had something to promote. Or did he just hit up Charlamagne like,
Trick Daddy
would love
Spices.
To be,
you don't know he has, like,
right.
No. Stop it. You're not serious.
Like a Miami-Dade Lawry's. Like seasoning salts. He's got gluten-free.
They have to send you some. They have to send you, like, a sample. You have to be able to.
I'm going to pay for it.
You're
going to
buy it?
Absolutely.
Just
it's
sight
fucking
unseen,
Trick Daddy.
Taste untasted.
What are you talking about?
Of course you can buy it.
He may take it to the house.
But you just give it this man
of course
money.
I'm gonna try your spices. You made that, nigga.
There's no way around it.
He's gonna take your spice money and buy some bunk.
Hey.
Some K2.
He also was there with his new female rap protege, who also sells waist trainers.
Okay. So she fits in on Instagram already.
Come on.
It was the greatest interview I've ever seen in my life.
You good? Y'all all right?
He's an American hero.
I can't believe this happened, but
it's like it's hard to do comedy when it's already happening. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
what I'm saying. How can you be funnier than real life?
Right.
How can you be funnier than what's happening in 2015?
Exactly. And he meant everywhere. He's just hilarious. You have to go home and watch this.
I watched it.
Long
live
Trick
Daddy. Very informational. He has a good youthful spirit.
Okay, you know what?
And you know,
that's
we
nice
don't know how much longer he'll be around. So we got to celebrate our icons today.
Give them the flowers while they're living.
Come on.
Amen. Trick Daddy is definitely one of his icons. Like, he's serious. That's not a joke.
Fuck.com.
Right.
Fuck what?
I know.
Yo, he made an album called Thug.com.
Here we go. Let me see if Kid Fury really know. I'm old, freaky, old, geeky, old, sneaky ass nigga.
I'm not even doing this.
Damn, fuck it. I just got left out.
Collar green neck bone.
Always wear my jeans baggy shaggy. Eh?
You know you want to. Just do it.
Moving on. We can't talk about Trick Daddy all day. All right.
It's TD day.
Good news. Rihanna is starting her own beauty agency called, I think it's called Frame, but the A in Frame has been replaced with an 8. So I don't know if
Frighten me.
It's an 8 though.
You must say it with the accent. Frighten me.
I don't know how to
your Rihanna might be worse than mine. Was that worse than mine?
That's fucked up.
All right, now I gotta hear your Rihanna.
Okay.
No, you don't.
I think I got to.
Just give me a minute. I'm gonna work on it. I'm gonna warm up.
Say it randomly.
Everybody at home, I'm gonna do it randomly. You can blame Mike for this if she does it. Anyway, it's gonna be an agency for makeup artists and other people that make women beautiful and things like that.
I think that's gonna be very successful. Rihanna has a cult following, man. When she says go, everybody goes.
And she's professionally fine.
Right. If there's anything she can sell, it's beauty because she's gorgeous. Like, she's damn fine.
She started the bad bitch movement.
You think so?
I think so. That whole I'm a bad bitch, that was Rihanna.
Dabble in that. Elaborate on that for us.
Well, you know, she, what's the song she had when she said, I'm a bad bitch, right?
All right.
I mean, everybody knows that that's what? Rihanna's, like, that's
if you
want
to be real,
right?
We would have to just jump right back to who?
I was going
to
say, if we're going to go
Katrina
all
Laverne
the way back
Taylor, the baddest bitch.
I don't even know
and
when you
don't
walked
you
right into that.
Ever forget.
Well, I don't know if people were saying that back
no,
then.
No, I mean, she was saying that, and that was
she
like
was,
the
and nobody
90s.
Caught on.
No, what? What?
She's still the baddest
You're
bitch.
You're trolling Kid Fury
she
right
She made
now.
Baddest make sense.
She did.
It wasn't even, like, grammatically correct.
Was that on the album?
It was the name. All right. I feel like you're leaving me out to dry the 305 of yesterday.
I can't back you up on Trina, man. I'm sorry.
Anyway, Rihanna is beautiful and she doesn't have an album out, but she's, you know, selling beauty to people.
Okay. Yeah,
Rihanna. One day me and Rihanna are going to date and I'm going to come back on here and talk about it.
I feel like everybody has
that
like
goal?
A Rihanna. Yeah.
That's when you made it.
Yeah, like pretty much every man, when the topic of Rihanna comes up, they're all like, I just want to be with her.
Yeah, and I know she's going to play me. I know she's going to be disloyal. Maybe she might cheat on me and tell me, like, Micah, I had sex with another guy. Is that okay?
Oh, damn, that like, is better than mine.
It's way better than
mine. Micah, I had sex with another man. Okay? Is that okay?
See, that it's offensive.
What?
When you do it.
I'm trying to sound like you.
I'm not even from Barbados. But she West Indian, you West Indian, y'all kill each other.
Right, and you know, just for like a month or two,
I'm
good on that, and I can move on and get some real energy going somewhere else.
She scares me,
doesn't she?
I feel like she would fuck a regular nigga's life up. Honestly,
I'm ready for it.
Oh, okay, you just want to be ruined.
She fucked rich, famous niggas' lives up.
Right,
and that's like one of my favorite things about her. Actually, I just want to stay on her good side.
Yeah,
that's it. Actually, I randomly had a dream the other day that she was being interviewed by Andy Cohen. And I was in the audience, and he asked her a question about Chris Brown, and I yelled out, "Nigga, you tried it!" And she gave me a free sweater.
Because she probably would give you a free sweater.
Wait,
or some
this
shit
was
like
a daydream or a regular dream?
No, this was like a dream just at night, but I was like on
medication.
I was on some medication, and I was just like, you know, like I was taking some painkillers. And so maybe that's what it was.
Maybe.
It was a very odd dream. Yeah. And then we, like, went to the fair.
See, that sounds like Rihanna.
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Kid Fury, Rihanna hanging out. That sounds like a good
match. Seemed like some shit y'all would do.
Speaking of Chris Brown, he and...
right.
He and plenty of other wild Negroes across the country seem to believe that there was a UFO that flew over... the Orange County the other day, I think.
Oh, yeah. Somewhere in California.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
video?
I saw the videos.
Yeah.
So there's a light that zooms across the night sky.
It just looked, kind of suspect because people like hundreds of miles apart saw it. Like it was people all across this region. Yeah. It wasn't just in one city.
Well, the way that the sky works is that typically if something is high enough, everyone will see it.
That's true. But the government said it was like a missile test.
Which is, to me, is scarier than a fucking UFO.
Right.
Like a missile test. Oh, no, it was just a missile test. Calm down, everybody.
Just blowing up missiles over
So where's
head.
The missile now, then, if that's what y'all did, if y'all just fired it off?
Well, like, it was a test. It's like a firework.
Y'all wasn't going to tell nobody, hey, at 11 p.m., it's going to be this crazy light shit flying through the air. Like, I don't know if I believe the government if they say it's a missile.
My thing is, if Young Thug's cousins really are coming to get him, right? Why have none of them ever actually stopped?
Why do they have to be Young Thug's kin?
Because that nigga's not from here.
Okay. All right.
Think about
I was
it.
Wondering where he was going with the Young Thug's cousins.
Think about it. Young Thug can't. He's not. Yeah. He said it. He said that he feels like he's from Earth, too.
What does that even mean? Do you mean Mars? What are you talking about?
He said that there's some other planet that was discovered that is similar to Earth.
Okay.
And that's where he believes he's from.
And it's called Earth, too. They didn't come up with another name.
I don't.
Young Thug is from a planet, Codeine.
Right. Yeah. That's what I believe.
That's really what that is.
I just, like, why have they never touched down and be like, hey, we going to Waffle House? Like, they just fly by. The holdup? Why have we never actually seen them?
I mean, if you flew over America, would you really want to touch down? Like, America's not that great. It ain't some fantastic place to come settle. They don't want to come meet us.
They probably picked up the fucking Republican debate.
They were like, is this real?
I was like, oh shit.
Let's just go over there. This cannot be real. Like, them niggas can't be for real. It can't be 15 Republican fucking candidates.
They remember Trump from that fucking planet that they were at war with. Like, nah, we're not fucking with that guy.
They heard about how El Chapo put out that hit on Donald Trump, that $5 million or whatever it is, talking about he want Donald Trump dead or alive. And they was like, look.
No comment.
We can build a new recreation center with this.
Right. All the wonderful things we can do with this. Do we really need Donald Trump? That's when you start asking yourself all of the pertinent questions.
The hard questions. Like, is the earth going to suffer without Donald Trump? I think not.
What are you thinking about this? We were actually just having a discussion about the presidential election. And I personally feel like either way, I'm fucked. Like, I'm screwed.
Well,
have y'all been paying a lot of attention to the debates and all that?
I've been traveling. So.
I watched the Democrats. Okay.
All right. You've been traveling for months.
Excuse about three times.
I've been on the planes, you know.
I watched the Democratic one. It was pretty nice. It was good to see Hillary and Bernie kind of exchange thoughts and ideas. I'm scared. I'm so fucking scared.
Trump is running.
Like, that shit was a Simpsons joke.
Right.
That shit is fucking scary, yo. Like, 2015 is like a Dave Chappelle skit, man. That shit is scary.
I don't understand it at all. And people, like, legit
and he's
are
like
voting for
extremely
Ben Carson.
Popular, right. They both get on TV and say the dumbest shit, and they actually have a lot of support.
Yeah.
But a lot of people feel like they're not watching the Republican debates because they're not voting for none of them anyway, regardless. So you're just not even going to put yourself through the drama.
I'm going to go for Bernie.
But I got to see, you know, like, to be honest, though, like, I think that the other side, you got to listen to the other side and you got to see what they got to bring. And you have to, like, listen to their issues and what they care about in order to have some type of meeting in the middle, or, you know, at least understand their arguments. Even though a lot of it is bullshit, there is some logical things that they are good at, you know, that they'll be able to offer.
Some would be the key word.
Some.
Very few.
I look at it like
even
this.
More accurate, you know.
If the candidate is very, they're going in on one topic. This is what I stand for, right? And if that's something you agree with, like, yeah, I would like to see a change with that. Then you vote for that person. They're not going to be able to change everything. Obama people, black people still mad at Obama because he ain't changed the world for them. Like, we ain't getting no checks or nothing. You know what I'm saying? But to me,
who thought we was gonna get checks?
Some people was like, oh, it's the time. We about to get some money.
Yeah, there were a few niggas that thought they were getting
niggas thought they was getting checks.
All right.
But because they didn't get no checks, they thought he didn't do a good job.
Wow.
But there's one or two things that Obama did. Healthcare is different now. Everybody has access to healthcare, even if it's the Medicare shit that's, you know, might not be able to do shit for you.
Even if that is it, at least it's something.
Right.
It's
something. And then his prison reform act and trying to get people off who got indicted off of drug charges.
Exactly.
Black men who broke up families, trying to get people out of that. Like, for me, that's a lot. That's changing the world. Yeah. And it might only be one or two things in his 8-year term, but it's hard to do one or two things in this Congress. If you see House of Cards, you know it's hard to pass.
All you got to do is watch House of Cards. All you got to do is watch House of Cards. They spell it out for you right there.
Yeah, yo, they fight the fuck out of him. Yo, they fight him on everything. They do.
I think
just
it's
to fight him.
Interesting that so many white Republicans give him hell. And they are ready and willing to vote for Ben Carson, who is 100% black as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
And also thinks that the pyramids were built to hold grain.
It's just like
all that easily.
Ben Carson is a smart dumb nigga. He's just one of them.
He might be playing dumb to get in and say, fuck it, that's who I am, niggas. This is what we gonna do. Everybody get chicks.
But see, that really says something. If a politician feels like they need to play dumb in order to win, that really says a lot about the American people as a whole. Like,
yeah,
shouldn't our politicians be trying to play smart? Why do people feel like
because
they have to dumb down
the
win?
Because majority, yo.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta and when you play dumb, they let you win so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that must be why Hillary out here doing the fucking nay-nay in the vibe.
Oh, my God. Yes, this bitch on Snapchat and shit. Right.
I'm like,
the
fuck
off of
that.
Like, girl, you trying to be young? What are you doing? Meemaw, if you don't get your ass off Snapchat.
And I fuck with Hillary. I fuck with her. But I'm like, what are you doing this lame-ass shit?
I don't trust her.
Corny ass over there.
She be sitting with Ellen. Well, you know, in the words of Moesha.
What the fuck? Like, girl, shut up.
Nobody has ever quoted Moesha.
Hillary Clinton about to.
Like, she's just trying too hard. She's trying too hard. Because whoever gets the Democratic nomination knows that they have to get the black vote.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So they're trying. Like, they're doing their best. But Bernie Sanders is using, like, okay, black people shouldn't be killed. Black lives matter.
Right. Yeah.
And Hillary is over here trying to do the fucking whip and nay-nay.
Right. And that's why I'm kind of leaning more towards Bernie. And it's like, yeah, Bernie, if you say all these things, I want to see you do it. And if you don't do it, we're going to blast your ass.
But I just think Bernie does not have a chance.
97 years old.
I don't think he's going to get the nomination, honestly.
Why,
I think he's the better
candidate.
No, because he doesn't pander to corporations and big money the way that Hillary does.
But that's why we have to be the ones to vote for him.
Right. I mean, listen, I feel you, and I definitely feel like he's the stronger candidate. I just feel like Hillary has the machine behind her to push her to the front. So.
Right.
I'll vote for Hillary's fucking kitten heels before I vote for a single Republican, and I don't even trust her.
I mean, well, if you believe Scandal and House of Cards, then what we vote don't matter any damn way. Yeah, they all behind the scenes being shady.
So let's give an update on this queen named Yusuf Mack. I shouldn't call him a queen. Ooh. It's too soon. Ooh. This boxer from Philadelphia.
Oh, no, he came out.
Yeah, I don't have to call him a queen, though.
You're being kind?
I'm trying to be kind.
Considerate? You're being nice?
So, I thought that was like his like entrance like title.
And welcome, the queen.
Nah.
So she was doing this. A few weeks back, there was this story. Well, it came out that he had participated in some gay porn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Some very aggressive gay porn.
Hardcore gay porn, okay.
And his excuse was that he was drugged and he doesn't remember any of it, although he got paid for it.
Right.
Okay.
$4,500, I believe.
Oh,
they didn't give him no... Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't consider that a lot of money, especially for a porno, but anyway.
Well, if you do 10 of them, you know.
I mean, if you want to get double penetrated 10 times on 10 different episodes, that's your business. Or whatever you call porn.
What, do people binge watch?
Installment.
Hey, what you working on now, bro? Second season of my gay porn.
Anyway.
I guess he was known for boxing in Philadelphia. And that was his excuse, that he was straight. Then he came out and said that he was bisexual, and now he has admitted to just being gay and living his life like it's golden.
Right.
Because Dog Pound, that porn company, was like, oh, so we drugged you? Tell it to the judge.
They were like, well, what we're
going to just do is talk about this in court when we sue you.
Because that's slanderous, is it good not? Or libelous, one or the other.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, they drugged? Okay. Like, nah, we got this nigga on tape signing this.
Yeah.
Right.
He was perfectly lucid.
Get out of here, bro.
I feel like if anybody makes sure that they have, like, all their shit together when it comes to signing paperwork is the people in the porn industry.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You gotta make sure you're not fucking with minors. You gotta make sure everybody got they blood work and shit together.
They're supposed to. Yeah, you probably sign like 40 papers before you penetrate anything.
Right, especially.
I mean, okay. I would hope so.
Or before you get penetrated.
Well, that's good for his ass, man. You gotta be honest with yourself, bro. And you wasn't honest with yourself, and now you got exposed. So good for you.
Well, he's got 10 kids, so now he got like a lot of explaining to do to these baby mothers.
Oh, dang.
That's a lesson for everybody. Be honest with yourself.
I thought that it was very interesting that maybe 2, 3, 4 days after he came out as gay, he hosted a new life coming out party in West Hollywood.
Hollywood? Oh, yeah. The gayest.
Gayest city.
Wow. So you went from being in the closet and talking about you got drugged to hosting a fucking coming out party in the span of 2 weeks, my nigga?
Did they have a flyer? But they have,
there was
they,
a I literal flyer. There was a flyer. I'll see if I had a rainbow.
Balloons in the right. Come on out for
TMZ approached him. He got new teeth. They were talking about, how do you feel? The streets are painted in rainbows. How do you feel? And it was very awkward. But, you know.
And I would just say this is why a lot of people don't believe bisexual men when they say they're bisexual, because a lot of people use it as like a stepping stone to saying they're gay. Mm. And I think that's why a lot of men, when they come out and they're like, oh, I'm bisexual, I like men and women, a lot of people's first thought is, all right, nigga, like, you know, you be grabbing
the
ankle.
Even if you
ankle,
are bisexual, people gonna call you gay anyway.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, whatever. But like I've said, bisexual men more than likely aren't coming out, because if they say that, they're
the
not
women
getting
are never
pussy.
Right. The women are never not, going back.
Right.
Especially if you black. They're like, well, we could always go down to, you know, the mall. You can help me find some shoes that match my skin tone.
Maybe if you find a bisexual woman, maybe she won't care.
That's a completely different fucking story. And a whole lot of them be lying too. And I don't even know why.
Because you can do whatever you want as a bisexual woman.
Yeah.
You tell me, hey, Mike, listen, before we get into this, I'm bisexual. Okay.
That's not going to stop you at all. That's not going to stop you from talking to
me.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, right. That means more opportunity, right?
Right. Are you ready for the check? Because we can go. Like, this isn't an issue for me.
I wish you had gotten an invite to this party. I would have paid to see you go. And
who
take
are you talking
you,
to?
You. To see you, like, you reporting talking? Live from the coming out party in West Hollywood. Because I'm right, that face right there, I know you would be like utterly disgusted. Like, really, nigga?
Hardly enjoy going to the club now. And I have done the gay clubs in West Hollywood before. I don't know what kind of boom they smoke out there.
Whoa.
But it's just.
Oh, they don't smoke
it. They on some other shit.
It's too much.
Yeah.
They just be falling all over. Hey, I'm like, hey, guy, get the fuck off me.
I've never been to a coming out party. I don't even know what happens at those. Like, do you get up and make a speech? Are you like, my bad for not telling y'all
earlier
the whole time that I had this affinity for dick? Like, what do you even say?
You're here. I don't.
You apologize?
I feel like it's more like a scouting party where it's just like, I'm fully like, out now. You know, I know.
Right.
Let me see.
That
what
might
I
not be
find.
A bad idea. Like, I'm out. If you think I'm cute, come to this party from 11 to 3. Right. Let me see if I think you're cute too.
Because he put some diamonds over those.
Listen, that's
that he
not
was
a
missing.
Bad idea. That's not a bad idea. I'm not mad at it.
Speaking of homosexuality, let's talk about Vivica Fox. And
wait, she said something about 50 Cent, right?
She said a few things about 50 Cent.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did y'all see it? I watched it live.
I know exactly what it was. I don't want to ruin the section, but Vivica Fox is bitter right now, and she need to grow up. And she need to get a job.
So,
get a job too?
Man, what? I liked her in Sharknado, man.
Exactly.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I loved her performance.
Exactly.
The gifts was bomb on Tumblr.
She was in Sharknado?
There were gifts.
She was dead ass in Sharknado.
Yeah, she was in Sharknado.
I didn't even finish
watching
saying? Sharknado.
Kid Fury, let's not even talk about it.
Right, if you're in Sharknado, you do need a job.
You know what I'm saying?
No, Sharknado was bomb.
No, it's terrible.
No.
So, first of all.
Terrible on purpose.
Right, it's a bad joke.
Real Housewives of Atlanta came back this Sunday.
Yes, it did.
Awesome. My mom is happy.
I don't have much to say about it except for the fact that Kenya Moore should have never put her alleged house on television.
Never.
Like that.
Never. Why would you tell people? Oh, y'all didn't watch the show.
Not Kenya Moore, who was also from Detroit.
Okay.
That's what's up. Was on the show showing off this new house that she's building in the depths of Buckhead. I'm sorry. And the house looked like a sneeze. It looked like
Jesus.
It was just moldy. It looked like termites.
Looked like
had
a
been
lot of allergens
it.
In there. It, I mean, it had caution and danger and keep out signs. It was like condemned.
Who was this again? Kia?
Kenya Moore.
That's the one who was married to Cordell Stewart?
Yeah.
No, that's Portia.
Oh, that's Portia.
So no, it's not.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
She's a beautiful woman who has no integrity. Right. And that's all that you really got to know. That's all I had to say about that. So,
that's not funny.
I feel like I'm listening to the show at home.
Okay.
And you have
to
remember,
was she trying to flip it though? Like she was trying to flip it?
No, that's
like,
her house.
No, she's trying to build the house so that she can move into it. But the only reason I mention it is because on the show she was making fun of Sheree Whitfield, who has been known for the longest time to be building this house that is still not done.
Sheree is the one married to the ex-con?
No. Yes. The football player.
Wait, no.
He's a. No.
Sheree was
married
to Bob Whitfield.
That's Phaedra. Whitfield. You were so close.
Phaedra.
Hell,
married to
you almost had me
Apollo.
You see how we don't care? Like
they all the same.
Man, I don't know nothing.
I just feel like don't... You, what is the glass
People
house?
Who live in glass houses should not throw stones.
And you live in stick house.
Right. Like, bitch, you really have the nerve to roll up on Sheree. Like, what? Everybody knows in the neighborhood your house isn't done. Like, bitch, your house ain't either. We just saw that raggedy shit and no cobwebs and shit everywhere.
It looked like
bitch.
A handkerchief.
It is inhabitable.
It was
and you
horrible.
Got the nerve to talk about something. I could not believe Sheree didn't slap the shit out of her. I would have been like, bitch, I don't know who the fuck told you that you could talk to me like you knew me. I don't think so, ho.
So but, following the show was
yes.
Watch What Happens Live with Candy Burris, who's pregnant. Congratulations to her.
Yeah.
Bravo, oh, Andy. Shout out.
Is it the same dude who was like her mom didn't fuck with?
Yes.
Okay. But
you got
that's
that one.
All of Candy's boyfriends because she didn't like the one that died either. The one before Todd.
Even now, like he's dead now, she still don't fuck with him.
Well,
I think she's giving him a break now because he's dead.
Because he's dead.
Because remember, she hated Todd's mama, and then Todd's
mama
died,
and now it's
like,
oh, she was
I'm
such
sorry
a
I
sweet
called
lady.
Her a bitch.
Oh my God, that lady
I'm
needs
sorry
to die.
I told her. She was like, she was.
She's terrible.
She needs to go down in the grave.
She's horrible.
How old is she? 62?
I don't know how old
like,
she is.
Yeah, right.
She got about 8 more years.
She was the bartender on Watch What Happens
She
Live.
Was.
What?
And
she's
I
trying
found
to get a come
that
up.
Interesting because Vivica Fox is very clearly inebriated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She
and
looked
fresh
like a,
off some Botox, some fillers, whatever it was.
She
her
looks
face
better
was
now than she did a few years ago.
That's true. She clearly dialed back, but her face has
she
that
like
shiny
Kenya's
ass.
House.
Okay. All right.
She looked like a what kid?
She looked like Kenya's house.
Oh my God.
Just dilapidated.
Yo, stop it.
Just torn apart.
It's horrible.
Anyway, so she got on Watch What Happens Live.
Her hair was red. Her suit was blue. She looked like a black bomb pop to me.
Yeah.
Ever since Two Can Play That Game, I haven't fucked it.
Well, Two Can Play That Game was awful.
No, it was not.
It was.
That was the blueprint for a lot of black people in high school.
I liked Two Can Play
well,
That Game.
I was well out of high school by then, but that whole stopping and looking at the camera and breaking the third wall.
You didn't
thing,
like that?
No, I hate it.
I thought that was a good format.
I hate when shows do that.
I like that movie.
Not even on House of Cards?
Not my. Well, that's different.
See, no. Why
it's
is it different?
Because the white man does.
You're right, because the white man did it way better than Vivica did. You damn
horrible.
Right. I don't care. Oh,
you're
well.
Terrible.
I said it.
Mute me.
Be mad.
So, Andy Cohen had this segment where he was asked, he's talking about Empire, and I guess Vivica is supposed to be on Empire as Cookie Mountain's sister.
Because
Lee
Empire,
Daniels is
right, because
everyone.
Lee Daniels is hiring
Lee
everybody.
Daniels is trying to revive 90s actresses and actors.
I mean,
well, it's working. They all got a job now.
That's what's up.
And you know what? Shout out to
me.
Look, she's got a job.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like what he's doing, at least he's hiring black people like Tyler Perry.
Yeah, okay.
And he's not giving everybody on the show.
Everybody doesn't have AIDS. What? He does a lot with the gay character, but you know.
I've seen a few Tyler Perry shows with AIDS.
No, we're talking about Lee Daniels.
Okay, so
Tyler Perry loves AIDS. Tyler Perry loves it.
He gives it to everyone.
He gives it
to
everybody.
In his storyboard, he has act one, empty, act two, empty, act three, in the middle of act three,
AIDS.
Right, exactly.
Act four, yo. Crying.
He walks into every meeting like, who's getting the AIDS today?
Yes. He just starts with AIDS in the middle and then builds his story around
hey,
it.
Hey, Tyler, you working on anything? Well, I got this AIDS thing going on.
Like, what the
That's
fuck?
That's honestly like every single story, every movie, every play. It's like, oh my God, nigga, okay.
I mean, right. But everybody got their like formula, like Gucci Mane, you know, he got his thing that he keeps doing. And like Papoose had punchlines.
You really brought out Gucci and Papoose.
To compare to Tyler Perry.
To compare to, first of all, right. You brought up Papoose next to the Gucci Mane.
To the Gucci.
To the Gucci. That was disrespectful as hell, first of all.
Let's throw in Trick Daddy while we at it.
See, Kid Fury is about to knock you out.
I really felt like we were going to be together on this Trick Daddy Trina thing.
Right, because y'all were from Miami.
I fuck with Trick Daddy. I just don't fuck with Trina.
All right. Oh, I can accept God. That.
You see, it's, what I'm trying to do here is give everybody credit. It ain't working out for me, but I'm trying.
Woo, what the hell story were we talking about?
I can't wait to listen back.
Andrew Cohen asked Vivica Fox.
Oh, my God. Are y'all drunk?
No. Are y'all drunk? You see the decision that I made. He asked her about Empire, and he said, what do you think about 50 Cent saying that Empire had too much gay shit in it? And Vivica did this weird pause, and then she did like the Olivia Pope lip tremble, yeah. And then she started looking around.
Right. Yeah.
And she said something about the pot calling the kettle black.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then she called him a booty snatcher because of a double XL cover that he did with Soulja Boy. In fairness,
you're right.
If you have seen the cover that she's talking about,
you're talking about the old cover,
yeah, with the white, with him with the white, with the Assassin's Creed outfit on.
He does look like a booty snatcher in Vivica's defense.
Okay. But look,
it looks like a booty ninja.
But 50, like 50, that's what he do. Like he, you know, he groomed. Soulja Boy, he's taught him the ways, you know.
Which led him into wrong ways.
I was going to say, he clearly didn't do that great of a job, because Soulja Boy is not following in 50's footsteps at all.
Well, there's two people who I know listen to 50 Cent, and both of them are in turmoil right now, and one of them is Soulja Boy.
Okay, well.
Well, see, Soulja Boy still got money, and he just posted a thing. He was reading books and
who
shit.
Who told you that?
He reads books?
Yeah.
Soulja Boy cannot read. Stop that.
Yeah, lots of inspirational books.
Not Soulja chapter Boy. Books. You mean picture books?
No, they have many words.
Okay. Many, like M-I-N-I.
Soulja Boy went up to Teddy Riley's daughter and was like, let me tell you about these fish, right?
Teddy Riley's
there's
daughter.
There's a 1-1, there's a 2-1, there's a red one, there's a blue one.
Come on.
Did you know that eggs and ham can be green? Like, that's what I feel like. That's
what happens when Soulja Boy sits down and reads for an afternoon.
I'm trying.
Anyway, 50 Cent promptly hopped on Instagram and said that Vivica thinks he's gay because she used to eat his ass. So we're back on.
Yes, he did say that.
I believe it. Vivica looks like an ass-eating woman.
She didn't deny it.
50 looked like the type of man who would let a woman
throw
do it
those
too.
Knees
yes,
back.
It sure does.
Throw the what, knees wait, back. The knee. Wait a minute.
The knees?
Like, yeah, like while you...
Okay.
Because, I mean, you can do this from a couple different angles. It doesn't have to be, you know, on
don't get that done to myself.
It doesn't have to be on all fours. You know, he could be on his back.
Again, preference.
If she's down there in the ball area, she might just like to go on down.
She might
and
just like to go
in.
He might just
tickle that perineum.
That was a request. that was a request.
I mean, he clearly likes it, and a lot of men do. I mean, there's nerve endings all around that area. The male G-spot is in there.
The taint is a very special place, ladies.
But that's the taint, though.
I mean, the taint is very close to the ass.
It's close enough.
Once you get to the taint, you might as well.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
If you back there anyway, girl. Like,
look, you're right there.
I'm not doing it either, but I understand.
I wish you guys could hear my face.
It's saying,
hell no.
What the fuck is going on right now?
No, but it's, you know...
I'm not against men getting their ass eaten, just not by me.
Look, I clearly don't care.
Okay.
I just feel like you have to, the position you maintain during that act has to be manly as well.
What is a manly position?
Let me see. Maybe 1 foot up and sitting down on a business chair while sending an email.
What you gonna do?
I don't feel like there's any.
You can't be worried about appearances while you're getting your ass ate, dog. You gotta let it go. You gotta relax.
I might post it on Instagram. I need to look. I need to know how this image looks, man.
Don't post you getting your ass ate on Instagram.
Maybe standing up with like your face like against your elbow against the wall, and she
I mean, your knees are gonna buckle if you stand up eventually.
Maybe if she go ahead, Tate.
No, I ain't got nothing to say. I didn't want it to make sounds like.
What if you're standing up straight as if you're getting head, okay, but she is nowhere near your dick or balls?
Clearly,
she's underneath.
Yeah,
and you still grab her head. That is manly to me, okay, and I will participate in that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for clearing that up. However, listen, whatever you have to do to feel good about yourself while you getting your ass ate.
Listen, I've never had my ass ate, but like I said, the special lady, there's always that one lady I want to do everything to, and she can do probably.
I mean, it feels good. You just have to get past the mental part of it.
Right.
The you know
block.
The feces come out of this area.
Oh, I don't need to.
Oh, yeah, I'm
not
gonna ask.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. I didn't even know.
I mean, it wasn't my decision. This nigga was since I'm over here.
Yeah, we don't have to. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
No, it's this okay. is no, Trick Daddy apologize. And fucking 50 Cent's fault. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they brought all of this.
Vivica was out of line for that, though. Like, that was petty and stupid. She didn't write. She didn't have to do that. Like, girl.
She was drunk is what she was. She was clearly high off a little bit of brown, maybe. She smoked.
It was entertaining. Candy couldn't believe it. Candy was like, so are you saying that 50 Cent is gay right now? Like, Candy was
tag me in the picture. Like, Candy, you're pregnant.
She just turned
up. She's going to upset the baby.
The baby and the
baby like, all right, bitch, calm down. I'm like, damn.
What's okay, going girl. On up there?
50 Cent was actually just in the news going back and forth with Rick Ross.
Yes, I saw that too.
And Lord. Then he got into it with somebody. Like, he is a professional
he
troll.
He thrives off beef. Did have you know, even with a vitamin water, he's like trying to beef with that. Like, oh, Gatorade trying to make flavors too.
Right.
Yeah. Like, but remember he got sued because people were like, vitamin water is not actually nutritious.
I believe
but
it.
You should have known that. It's right. not water. It's got sugar and colors and fucking phosphorus, all the extra right. shit in it. Why did you think it was bitches Gatorade water? Right. Like, just because. But anyway, he's had his own problems
with
his brand.
You can always drink water. Take a vitamin.
Right.
See, 50 is scary to me though, man. Like, that's the man. He has, I guess, power, I guess.
He's the type of dude, like, if he was in high school and you was walking by the locker room, the lockers, and he said, hey, what's up, nigga?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Because you know he's trying to bait you to make fun of him or to say something back so he can
so
say
he can
something.
Knock your ass out.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He thrives
like a bully.
Off. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. He posted these shirts that were like Rick Ross's nude chest.
Okay.
And I say nude because Rick Ross has breasts. I mean, there's
right.
no way around
no, he
it.
Does.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he has
no
at least
it.
A B.
It's just a thing that happens.
You know, and I wanted one. Like, I just thought that it was funny. Like, I would
oh,
absolutely.
Oh, you wanted a shirt.
Nah, you can't do that to the career, bruh.
To who?
To the career, bruh. You can't play Rick Ross like that.
Oh, to Miami.
Yeah, that's the crib representative, right? That's the king of the crib right now.
So you rock for Rick Ross, but not Trina?
Trina has not produced.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Daddy, I mean, not Trick Daddy. Rick Ross' last mixtape was fire, though.
Damn.
Rick Ross is a boss. He's.
So you don't remember when Rick Ross was Trina's hype man?
I remember that.
And Trina is a female rap legend, and she comes from Miami. Like, I just feel like all of y'all should be proud of her.
I feel like she should stop rapping and continue reciting her hits.
Okay.
I haven't seen her in a minute. How's she looking?
Long heels.
Good.
She look good.
You have to also keep in mind that Trina is still fine. She still has her original face.
She's still thick.
Kid Fury, I ain't gonna lie.
Yes.
You know what made me fall off Trina?
What?
Can I be honest with you?
Sure.
She was on Breakfast Club a long time ago.
Oh, God.
And they asked her, what's a good size for you? And she said 11 inches. I was like, I don't fuck with Trina.
Okay.
Any girl who says 11 inches, I don't have nothing to do with you. And I don't understand you. And I don't know what you stand for. And I don't know what you've been through.
What is it that perplexes you about that?
I remember
it
that,
makes
actually.
Me it makes me confused and frustrated.
Okay. You don't understand why she would want to accommodate all
who
that.
Who can take that?
Listen,
that's a challenge.
Exactly, like, and I don't know no girls like that.
You should be coming. You should be like giving her a round of applause for being, you know, brave and willing to
right.
you know accommodate something like
somebody
that.
Somebody has to help the extra large dick right. niggas out there. Like, they can't just be shut out and left out the party altogether. You gotta include them in the conversation.
Forever,
them out.
They said, "What's a normal size to you, Trina?" 11 inches, bitch.
11? It's definitely not a normal size. But I mean, you're talking
you're talking about a Trina.
It's twice as big as average. So I feel like it's lofty. But if that's what she demands, then listen.
Only thug niggas have 11. Only niggas with no jobs have 11 inches.
Right.
And that's how they
prosper. Probably don't need one.
Right.
Why do you need? Because you're going to find a girl who will let you lay up in her house all day.
You're right.
While you
you're
play
right.
Xbox. You got 11 inch dick. She will go to work at the call center kicks. All day.
Right.
Yes.
Us
come
average
home and
niggas
got
to get to work.
Rest exactly. You niggas, ain't it time to clock in, nigga?
I got
to
have ambition.
You better go to work, shit.
All I got to have dreams and goals.
That's so, the bullshit section of our show this week. Oh, God damn, 74 whole American minutes.
Thanks
so we're
so
going to take a break.
Oh, are we not going to say thank you for them to them for coming through? Or
absolutely.
Oh, okay. I thought
go
you were just.
Ahead.
I was going to just say thank y'all for coming through to the show today.
Thank
we appreciate it very much.
Us,
good
thank
luck
you.
With the new season.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
We appreciate what y'all doing here, man. Y'all cultivated a black audience that is powerful.
And the black excellence section that y'all have. Like,
yes.
I wrote this sketch called Black People Laughing, and I was like, okay, we know the stereotypes. And, you know, like the niggas be like memes, be like, all right, with like a big thing.
Right.
Like, all right, how are we going to set the internet kind of on fire during this time? I wrote Black People Laughing. It was like to highlight the good things about black people. And I didn't see that a lot, especially we in Hollywood. We don't see that. You know, they think that they want the negativity. You know, they want the fighting. They want the bad
the
shit.
Stereotypes.
Exactly. You know, and it's nothing, you know, like that is that's a thing in human life. You know, we gonna fight, but like, you know, we know what those images do.
Right.
We've seen it like with us. Like they gonna try to make us fight. They gonna see what's up.
People always want to put you against each other when you work in a group.
Exactly.
It's always like
exactly.
Yeah.
And they done did the shits. They done did
the
shits. You know what I mean?
They done did the shits.
They done did the shits.
They done did it.
And we spotted it. And we you know what I mean? And you know it's hard to work through it. But you know we work strong, and it's good to collaborate with people like you.
Yes,
absolutely.
It's good to you know have you guys promoting that and having us all promote that.
Yes.
To say like this is not what we gonna give you we gonna give you everything.
Right.
You're gonna take the negative and the positive. You're gonna take and they're gonna be equally as strong.
I ain't no hater, and I like to spotlight talent. I like to spotlight people of color, especially who are doing excellent things.
Yeah.
And so for me, it really has. I mean, just in terms of y'all, obviously, like I said, I'm a fan. I think y'all do brilliant work.
Yes.
I think you've done brilliant work independently. I think that you'll continue to do brilliant work wherever you go.
Thank you, bro.
And so, yeah, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Shout out to Detroit.
Yeah.
Shout out to Miami.
305 in the building.
Do you still got 305 every code on your phone?
Nah, man. I switch area codes every city I go to. I had Atlanta. Now I'm LA all the way.
Yeah.
See, I fucked up. I still got 313. People be screening my shit.
Right. Exactly.
Let the people know where they find y'all
when
online.
When I called Kid Fury today, he blocked the number, and I text him right when he answered. So that's when you know a nigga don't answer unknown numbers.
Believe these lies if you want to believe these lies. Like
my phone stays on do not disturb.
He got a billion.
That is the truth.
My phone is always on. Nobody can get through to me but my mama.
What is wrong? I be hearing the pocket. Are you antisocial?
I'm not antisocial. I just don't like to talk to people without knowing that I have to talk to them first.
So you're anti-social. That's what you're anti.
Let people know what you've got coming up, where they can find all your shit.
All right, so the web series is out right now, 6 Guys, 1 Car Season 2 on Comedy Central's YouTube. Catch it on Snapchat every Wednesday. They're releasing a new episode. Yeah. Go check that out. Please tell us what you like about it.
Comment.
Be honest. I don't care, man, but just go watch it, man. We've been working hard on that, and that's our dream. Get them boys a show. We've been doing that since 2009. Like, that's what we've been aiming for. We want to put more people on.
We put that shit out in public. That shit risky. We could have lost.
But
we could have fell hard, nigga.
That goes to show you put your goals out there. You say what you want, and we hear. And honestly, it's up to y'all now, because they can't ask us for another web series. They got to give us something else.
Right. And I'm waiting on it. I wish y'all could see the Hennessy in Mike's eyes.
Yes,
right,
thanks for the Hennessy.
This man
awesome.
Has been
good
crying.
And lit now.
Tears.
Face just do
tears of joy.
It's cool though.
All right.
Thanks again for coming through, y'all. We appreciate it so much.
We're gonna pay bills or what the fuck ever, and we'll be back.
Hey, ladies, I know most of us can relate to the struggle of trying to find an amazing bra. Well, there's a company that has come to the rescue, and they're called Third Love. Third Love's 24/7 t-shirt bra is the most comfortable bra I have ever owned. It is so smoothing and invisible under every outfit, which is super important. Lord knows I've had my moments where my bra showed, and I was like, ugh, over it. The cups on the Third Love 24/7 t-shirt bra are made out of memory foam, so it molds to your shape to give you the most amazing fit. It feels so good, like the tagless, foam padded hook and eye feel great. You know how sometimes that area can scratch and chafe and it's just like a pain in the ass. The Third Love bra completely takes care of all those problems. All you have to do to get started now is go to thirdlove.com/read. They stand behind their products so much that they are willing to let y'all try the bra totally free. All you have to do is pay $1 for shipping. You wear it for 30 days. You can take the tags off, wash it, really get your titties in this bra, girls. If you love it, you can keep it and they'll charge your card. If you don't, send it back and they won't charge you. It's that simple. All you have to do is go to www.thirdlove.com/read to get started. If you don't know your size, an online fit specialist will be happy to help you. So again, thirdlove.com/READ. Get started today. Help out your tits and let's move on.
Hey guys, this episode is also being brought to you by Tristan Walker and the amazing people over at Bevel, the first and only shaving system for people with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. I have told you many, many times that I am disgusted and annoyed by razor bumps, discoloration, and irritation. And ever since Bevel, I have not had to worry about those things. Up to 80% of black men and women struggle with razor bumps, and up to 30% of men and women of other races encounter razor bumps as well. And this is an issue that multi-blade cartridges cannot solve. Bevel, on the other hand, uses a single blade that cuts right above the skin with less irritation. It also comes with a pre-shave oil, a badger brush, which I just feel like, you know, Sweeney Todd or something with without the murder. It's fantastic. So make sure that you go over to getbevel.com for 20% off your first month's membership. All you've got to do is enter promo code THEREAD, that's THEREAD, at checkout. So go to getbevel.com, get you some brushes and some razors and things and, you know, enhance your sexy and whatnot, and let's move on. All right, so we're back to the show.
Yes, we are.
It's time for some listener letters.
It sure is.
Are you feeling sober?
Not at all. It's great. Actually kind of warm and a little bit dizzy in here, but it's fine.
Cute.
I'll be just dandy.
So let's zip right through this.
Yes, thing. Let's do that. Send your questions to asktheread@gmail.com. As soon as my eyes focus, I'll be happy to pull up the first question.
Great. It
comes from Princess Shuri, who says, I heard Kefiri mention that he loves Alice in Wonderland, and I wondered which version is his favorite. I like the cartoon from 1951 and the one with Whoopi, Martin Short, and Ben Kingsley. I love the show and so happy for you. Love you so much. Thanks. I don't know if Princess Shuri is an inside joke. Is that something you get?
I thought you were talking about Ray J's.
S-H-U-R-I. Is that like a anime character or something?
I don't.
Okay. Never
maybe.
Mind.
I don't.
Do you have like a, is there, I didn't even realize there were multiple versions of Alice like in Wonderland.
Different adaptations to Alice in Wonderland.
I think I just know the old school one, Disney that was movie? Like.
I mean the cartoon one.
No. The real one where it was like that white girl from like, I think it was the one from the 50s. It wasn't animated, not that one. I'm talking about the live action, like Judy Garland, Alison.
I'm thinking of the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, fuck. Oh, that's right. There is no live action Alice in Wonderland. That shit had like a cat on a tree. Oh,
there is? A few live action Alices, but
wow,
not that one.
Okay, so anyway, which one? Clearly, I don't know about it.
Alrighty.
I really was thinking of the Wizard of Oz.
You entirely were.
I was like,
were.
Come on, and they have a black one. Ain't no black. Just kidding.
The Wiz. So, if I had to choose, you know, I've actually been asking myself this many, many times because the Disney one is classic, but the Tim Burton one, I feel like is closer to the book, which I really liked. I think that I would probably choose the Disney movie from the 50s or whenever, just because it was a movie I watched ever since I was a kid and I could still watch it today and probably like it, probably because I'm childish. But...
You know,
no, lots of people love it.
I just really like the whole entire concept behind Alice in Wonderland, and you know, it's very clearly inspired by drugs.
I was gonna say that whole movie like is inspired by different types of highs, is it not?
If I could be like. Honestly, I like the whole idea that there's this girl who just feels like completely bored with everyday life and like the expectations that are placed upon her. And so she runs away to this, you know, world that she sort of kind of you think makes up in her head, but not really. And it's just
right.
Crazy.
Her interactions are wild as hell. And you can't like the line between what's real and what's not is blurred throughout the
it's
whole.
Nonsense. None of it makes sense and it doesn't have to. And I think that's why.
Oh, that Cheshire
it.
Cat scared the shit out of me as a child. Like oh, legit frightened me though.
Was Brilly in the slithy toes.
He was just shady.
Kyra and Kimbell in the way. All the Mimsy were the Borogoves.
You know every word.
And the Momraths out great.
This is why we need to do the Golden Girls theme song, and you have to do the main part. And I can just hum the melody in the background.
I love that fucking cat.
Okay.
What's next?
Well, it scared the hell out of me. So, all right. Hope that answered your question. The next one, we have one from a girl who's like struggling with self-esteem issues. Do you want to read that? We have a guy who
I would feel like shit if I did.
I'm like, no, sorry. Don't want to hear about your sad
fuck your
problems.
Self-esteem, girl.
So, this is a fake name, I'm pretty sure. It says, hi, guys. My name is Chiquita, and I'm a huge fan. Well, I say that it's fake because her real email address says something different, not because I think her name is fake, because of what it is.
It's fine.
And I felt like I needed to clarify, because
sure,
somebody whose
it.
Name is Chiquita was going to tweet me and be like, bitch, it's real. Okay.
My name is Chiquita all my life.
My dilemma is that I've recently started sharing my talent as a writer, and I've been meeting other very talented people who have promoted themselves and each other, and it inspires me to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're all very supportive, so I felt safe and kept getting various opportunities to show off my talent. At the time, I had an internet radio show, and now that I don't do it anymore, I'm not around those people, and I'm back to feeling like I'm afraid to do what I love. I'm a new mother, and I've always been on my own, taking care of myself, so I have a lot of responsibilities, and sometimes I use that as an excuse to not pursue my passion. What I'm trying to say is that I let fear stop me from publishing books that I've written and getting my poetry out there in the world. I've made a website and a Tumblr, but I don't share my work because I'm struggling with believing in myself. I'm afraid of failing, but I'm also afraid of trying, and I've heard you guys discuss feeling similar ways. How do I conquer this fear? Please help. How do you encourage yourself to put yourself out there and do what you love?
All right.
So I felt like this question is something that a lot of people experience. Like, even if you're not necessarily a creative person, like, you don't really feel the need to put out art in any sort of way. Like, a lot of people struggle with, you know, how do I follow my passion, or how do I get the courage to do that?
I got some, like, how Beyonce got some unreleased tracks. I got some unreleased YouTube videos that will never come out.
Plenty is it because they're not up to your personal standards?
Yeah,
or
this is trash.
But do you ever feel like
I think everything
you do
is trash that
right.
I do. So.
Yes. So which kind of is you clearly don't think that everything you do is trash, because if you did, you wouldn't put anything else out. But it's kind of
but
like,
I put it out and then I never go back and watch it. So it's just kind of like, OK, well, here this is. And a lot of times I will think that a video or even episodes of this show that we do, I'll be like, oh, that was horrible and everyone's going to hate it. And then I've noticed almost every time people will be like, this was the funniest one. And I don't know how that works.
Because you're inside your, I think for a lot of us, when you're inside your own head, you're judging your work. But it's because you've been there since, you know, it first started, since you first had the idea for it. And you developed it and you worked on it and you wrote and edited and you went through the process so many times that now you're looking at it and it's like you almost can't even really see what you've created as an outside person. You know, like you don't see it with fresh eyes because it's your baby. So if you feel like, oh, man, I could be doing better with this, but I don't know, like, should I put this out? Should I be willing to take the risk? Like, getting past that internal fear of, well, what if people don't like it? Or what if it doesn't succeed? Or, you know, what if it doesn't do the things I thought it would do? Or people don't really get the message that I was trying to put out? That can be a hard thing to be like, to sort of try to get over, like, in your own life. Like, how do I get past that feeling?
Right. I think it's good to be your own worst critic sometimes, because it means that you ain't just going to put out whatever the fuck, and it means that you care about the quality of your work and that you'll probably revise it a bunch of times and that sort of thing, and all of those things can be good. I'm going to tell you a mix of what my cuz, Mike Brown, and my new shrink have told me.
Okay. Oh, shout out to your cousin. His web series is really good.
Yes, it's really funny. He told me, look, you just got to do it. You've got to write it. And he also said that a lot of times your stuff will be crap. Like, it'll be bad, but you will have people, like, you should have people in your life or surround yourself with people that you can send it to who will be like, oh, try this or change this or do such and such or whatever and whatnot. Like, you, if you don't ever put anything out there, you're never going to move forward with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to open yourself up to constructive criticism. Not everything that you do, everyone's gonna like, and not everything you do, you gonna like. Mm-hmm. But if you never expose it, if you never take that step, then you're always gonna be in one place, and you're always gonna be frustrated.
But the fear of failure is also super real. Like, I get that too at the same time. It's like what you said is definitely true, but like actually being in the space where you need to do it, like actually taking that leap and being like, okay, I'm gonna just go for it. I'm gonna just put it out there. I'm gonna just work on this goal. Like, that's terrifying for a lot of people.
My lovely new therapist is broken down like the right and left sides of the brain.
Okay.
And how like the left side is more organized, or this is what you need to do and this and that such and such. And your right side is more like, okay, well, what if you do it this way? Like, I guess the right side of your brain questions things more. I don't know if I said that scientifically correct, but I think that's how she's breaking it down to me. And you just kind of have to know how to, like, put certain things on the back burner and ask yourself, like, what am I really trying to do here? What am I trying to accomplish? And what is it going to take for me to really get here? And then bit by bit, just chip away at little tasks until you find yourself in a completely different thing. Like, you don't always have to just take an immediate leap of faith into what you want to do, but take tiny steps here and there, and before you know it, you'll have a New York bestseller or something.
Yeah.
But if you never do anything.
Yeah. If you never do anything, you're never going to go anywhere. And the scariest decisions that I've made or the things that brought me the most anxiety have paid off the most in my life.
Like, absolutely.
The biggest chances that I took, and not to say that everything was a win, because I've fallen plenty of times over these past few years since I moved to New York. Like, there have been some high ass highs, and then there have been some low ass lows. Like, it ain't been no crystal stir necessarily, but all the work pays off in the end, because I do what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing, and not necessarily like, oh, I'm going in the studio to do this podcast because podcasts are popping now and everybody has one and it's this hot ass thing and, you know, let's do it. But more like, I feel like I'm walking in the journey that I'm supposed to be on, and I'm on the path that I'm supposed to be on. I'm walking in my purpose. So when you do things, when you answer to your calling, there's an amazing book called The War of Art that Molly put me onto. Shout out to Molly McAleer. But if you're creative, I highly recommend it, because it broke down a lot of the mental breakthroughs that I had when it came to writing and other stuff. Like, it's not just, you're not imagining writer's block or that fear or that anxiety. Like, that's all very real. You just need to learn how to manage it so that you can get past the fear and move forward. So I recommend that book to you.
It's not even very long.
Yeah, no, it's not. And the whole time, every page, I was like, my God, this is my life. Like, this is my whole ass struggle. This is my daily struggle. So you just need some help with managing that fear and finding the bravery to move forward. But I have full confidence in you. I'm sure you can do it.
And trust me, I go through that same thing in the here and now.
Yeah.
And I'm learning to work on it as well. So you're not alone.
Good luck to you. Our last question is messy. It says,
yay.
The subject line says, when your best friend is your side boo. And let's just call her Carmelita. It says, 3 years ago, I met a guy named Jamal. Jamal and I became really good friends. And after about 5 months, we fucked around and had sex.
Okay.
5 months of being really good friends.
Sure.
For 3 years, we hooked up, and eventually I caught feelings, but when I told Jamal...
No way!
He let me know that he didn't have those same feelings.
No way!
However, the dick was too bomb, and I decided it was okay that he didn't want a relationship, so I decided to continue having sex with him.
Oh, wow.
Fast forward 2.5 years later, I've been dating a new guy lately named Trent. Great. Trent is everything that I could ask for, and I could see myself marrying him, but now that Jamal sees I'm getting serious with someone else, he's trying to ruin my life. When he knows I'm with Trent, he'll hit me up like, when you done with that lame ass nigga, you can come through. Now mind you, I haven't had sex with Jamal in over 6 months, and I really do have feelings for Trent, but I can't let go of this friendship that I have with Jamal. I wish that Jamal and I could be friends without him trying to have sex with me. And this is where the story gets colder. Jamal and Trent live only 3 miles from each other, while I live about 60 miles away from them both, and my fear is that Jamal is trying to sabotage my relationship. I trust Jamal. Well, girl, you can't say that he's trying to sabotage your relationship, but you trust him. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't mean no damn
anyway,
sense.
I trust Jamal, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me speak up.
But what if this fuck nigga takes a picture of me while I'm at his house? Or what if he knows a friend? Girl, maybe I'm being paranoid.
But you're not...
The question, how can I tell Jamal to leave me the fuck alone and just be my friend? Trent knows of Jamal and that he used to be my cuddy buddy, if that helps, which I'm sure it doesn't.
Probably does help. I mean, full disclosure.
The problem is that you're not really telling Jamal to leave you the fuck alone and just be your friend, because that doesn't make any sense. You can't say leave me alone and be my friend. A friend by definition does not leave you alone. So you're not making any sense.
Sure, why you want to be friends with him?
Right. And you know, this is something that came up the other day when I was watching Toya and her shitty ass husband Memphis.
I purposefully missed that.
There was some show, I don't know what it's called, Divide Untying Your Poor Ass Knot. Assets, Untying the Knot. Sorry, not.
Yeah,
Untying the Knot, where they basically go through the things that they have that are worth a damn and divide them up between each other. And at
and
the
tell
end, Toya,
all their business,
it was garbage.
That.
It was, right. And predictably, you know, they paid $150,000 for these high-end watches, but they were only worth, you know, $35,000. Because when you buy shit like that, it depreciates in value, you dumbasses. And that's why... Anyway, so, to get to the point. At the end of it, Memphis had been talking shit about Toya the whole time. This bitch gets on my nerves, like, being really disrespectful and not being, like, at all pleasant or easy to work with. And at the end, she was like, I just hope that, you know, we can stay friends through all this. And he was like, fuck her. Why would I want to be her friend? And that's what I want you ladies to understand. If the nigga is not treating you in a friendly way, y'all cannot be just friends. And that doesn't necessarily mean, like, abusive or shitty. That just means if he's always trying to fuck, then y'all are not going to be able to be just friends. Because the underlying I want to fuck you tone is always going to be there. You can't make something be just friends when it's not. You can't make somebody have platonic feelings for you when they don't. It seems to me like you just need to cut this off altogether and not be worried about it.
See, my thing is, first of all, I don't know what Memphis does for a living. Was he like
I think he used to be a producer.
BTVJ? I'm thinking of hits from the
He's
street.
Mad at... He's mad at Toya because she told him not to go.
Oh, I don't care either.
On TV and defend himself against the K Michelle rumors. When K Michelle was on Love and Hip Hop or whatever, talking about Memphis beat her ass, Toya told him not to go on TV and dignify it with a response. And he feels like that ruined his career because now nobody wants to work with him because he beat K Michelle's ass. Not the fact that he beat K Michelle's ass, you know, ruining his career, but the fact that people know about it now and Toya told him not to go on reality TV. So he's mad at her. And I guess that has something to do with this whole breakup because now he's not making any money and she's realizing what a shitty ass person he is. The show itself, if you get the chance to see it, it was good and garbage. So I think you would enjoy it.
I just don't care either way. And I actually like Toya, not for any reason besides the fact that I think that she's pretty.
That's true. She is beautiful.
And I really love her accent. But, you know.
And Regine is gorgeous, too.
And Regine looks just like her. She's gorgeous as well and rich and all of those lovely things. But I don't care about Memphis.
Right. No.
And I saw screenshots from it, and he just looks ridiculous. So I don't care.
Not even getting into the whole 8 hall passes that he gets every year to have sex with other women.
Don't care.
Like, okay, girl.
The thing I just want to talk about is Jamal's a fuckboy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what we say about those. So the thing that he's the type of fuckboy that, and many of them do this, that love the benefit of a sexual relationship with someone don't want anything outside of that sexual relationship, disguise that sexual relationship as a friendship so that you think that somehow he cares about you in whatever way. Mm-hmm. But the moment that you cut off the sexual relationship and move on, then he starts bullshit. If he was really your friend, and he would support the fact that you have found what you wanted in the first place with someone else.
Right.
He would be completely okay with that because he has a penis that he can put in anybody else's vagina.
Mm-hmm.
But he is talking about come and fuck with a real nigga, but he doesn't really want to fuck with you. He wants to fuck you.
Right. It's been 3 years, girl. It's been 3 years.
Only reason that you're struggling with this is because the sex was good.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
He's not nice to you.
No.
So why would you want to be friends with him anyway?
And you're talking about y'all developed a real friendship. Not after 5 months, you didn't. After 5 months, you didn't develop. Especially if it turned into fucking after 5 months. It's been 3 years later. I think you still have feelings for him. Like, despite
that's
the fact
that
you said
is.
You quit fucking him and you moved on and you dating somebody new, I think you clearly still
you
have
still
feelings
have
for
feelings
this man.
For him, and the feelings are based on dick. And I understand when, like, sex can be so great that you get a little bit blinded. But, you know, there are so many dicks. There are just so many. Many dicks.
There are
so many of them, and I just don't understand why it's so hard for so many people to look past like one bomb dick and be like, you know what,
I
could probably find
this.
Another bomb dick somewhere else from a nigga that's nice to me. Like, I could probably do that.
Right.
So, fuck you. I don't understand, you know, I mean, I get it. Emotions and feelings, I completely
I mean, because when
that.
Sex is good, it can make all the bad things about that person just completely vanish from your line of sight. It's like you don't even see how much of a fuck nigga he is because that dick is so good. But girl, you cannot let that man's penis rule your emotions. Like, you should have blocked his number a long time ago. If he can't respect your relationship and he still talk about come through when you done with that lame, the fact that you are even still letting his text message and phone calls come through to your phone, like, to me, makes it plain that you have feelings for him. I would suggest you deal with those feelings before you worry about moving on to somebody else.
And you worried that he's going to sabotage your relationship with this new nigga that you like. What about this is friendly?
Right.
I don't understand.
Why are you trying to be
like,
his friend? He's an asshole.
He's not nice. Like, you haven't described anything about him besides his penis, which, again, most men have. I don't have, like, what? Fuck
There's
that nigga.
There's nothing
like,
good. You didn't say, oh, he's so kind. He helps out with animals. He volunteers at the old people's shelter. He doesn't. He's got great dick. And what else, girl? Like, you're putting yourself through this for no reason.
Don't be silly.
There's no reason to even still talk to this man.
Go on ahead and lock it down with Trent and tell Jamal that nigga can beat feet or beat meat because he won't be getting yours.
You need That's to reread it. This email and see what you, like, the blatant contradictions that you wrote. You don't trust him. You're worried that he's going to sabotage your relationship. And nobody who is a friend is also untrustworthy.
It doesn't make sense. Okay, girl.
So, good luck to you, girl. If you guys have a question, send it to Ask Reed.
It's not even like she was, like, lost and single and, like, hopelessly, you know, like, nobody out here wants me. Like, you found another nigga. Like, I don't even understand. Like, does he not? I don't, what?
It's been 6 months since you fucked this man. He's not even a nice person. And he's not your ex. Y'all were never together. He never gave that much of a fuck about you, so.
All right, I'm done.
All right, so now it is time for the read.
Right, and so I'm just going to go ahead and wrap this all up, I guess.
I'm quite certain Kid Fury will be speaking for me also and as well during this portion. If I have something to chime in, I'll do it at the end.
So without, I guess, even getting into too many of the specifics, I know a lot of you have probably heard about this, about the drama at Mizzou. Is it University of Missouri?
Yeah, but it's called Mizzou for short.
Okay, so it's like University of Missouri, Columbia, or something like that. And so, really quickly, they were experiencing lots of racist acts of intimidation and things like that. There was some idiot who spread feces on, like, one of the residential walls.
In the bathroom?
Yeah, in, like, the shape of a swastika.
Yeah.
I guess a bunch of complaints had been submitted, and the school's president, Tim Wolf,
yeah,
was completely unmoved. So lots of students protested, like I mentioned. There were hunger strikes. And finally, when the football team was like, guess he's not playing us.
Not practicing neither.
That's when, they were like, oh, someone's got to do something about this. We can't just not have no football games.
Mm-mm. Not in Missouri.
Right. And I mean, when you really get down to like what the football teams do for like the school's funds and all that kind of shit, like,
millions.
Like they're not playing that game.
The football teams at big schools fund the rest of the athletic department. Like, that's definitely the case at OU. The football players pay for like women's golf. But anyway, you can go on.
So all of these protests got Tim Wolf to resign, and he had this whole speech about his resignation being about love and not hate. And he said something about how we have to stop yelling at each other and we have to stop intimidating each other. Girl, they were yelling and intimidating at the black student. There wasn't, I didn't hear about any yelling at each other. I didn't hear anybody, I don't know what the each other part is. But I get it. You know, you don't want to say it how it is because that's how y'all like to do. It's fine. Just get out. So, you know, the students rejoiced. They were crying and I was crying. And it was, you know, all of this. So, recently, some idiot went on... I don't know what kind of app or what, I think it's called Yik Yak, something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's the new app.
And was threatening to shoot black students at the school. I think they said that these people may have, or they claim to be affiliated with the KKK or some shit. I don't even feel like you have to, like, join. I feel like you used to be like, I'm in the KKK, and you just get the white suit, and you just in. I don't feel like there's any, you know, I don't know how that works. But yeah, they were threatening to actually go into school and shoot black students. I saw this video of some white guy who was either drunk or just naturally and organically stupid, mm-hmm. walking around saying how, you know, Jonathan faked not eating for 8 days when people in Africa are suffering from famine and corruption and no one's doing anything about that. So let me just go here. I want to start with, there's so many places that I could start. I guess I'll start with the dude who was walking around with his comment first. Sweetheart, what were you doing about the famine and the corruption in Africa before all of this? What were you doing? Nothing. You were living your whole entire white-ass life before this happened, not giving a fuck about none of that shit. Did you donate to Heifer? Did you call up Susan Sarandon and be like, here, girl, here are a couple of my coins. Go give these kids some Lunchables. No, you didn't. You're mad. Okay.
There you go. You got it.
The shooting thing for me raised some more eyebrows. I'm starting to believe that, because there was just a stabbing at UC Merced. I don't know how you say that.
I don't know either.
But there's a school.
There's always some violence at these schools.
A bunch of kids just got stabbed like last week. And now that story is apparently old. Ryan Murphy on The Last American Horror Story had this whole entire scene with these white kids turning into vampires and stabbing each other and killing all the teachers and all the, like, simulated a whole entire act of, like, academic terrorism and violence. And then that was just the end of it. They didn't come back to it. Like, the people just died in the school and that was just
That's
the end
it.
Of that.
Yep.
I'm starting to feel like white people treat, like, school shootings and school violence like it's America's pastime. Like, this is just a thing that happens here and, you know, whatever. Because at first, when this shooting thing or when the threats of the shooting came out, they were saying, oh, well, don't spread rumors. There's no immediate threat to the campus. So would an immediate threat be when them niggas actually come out here
yes.
and start killing people? Like,
That's what you're looking for?
That's what you're waiting for, them to actually start capping Negroes mm-hmm. before the threat is immediate. Like, the actual threats themselves aren't a problem.
Right.
Then they later said that they apprehended an alleged suspect or whoever it was who was making the threats. Yeah, okay, girl. So what I just want to say... White people, racists, why are you so passionately upset when black people stand up for themselves? Like, what is the problem that you have with people in this country that is allegedly free stand up for themselves and fight for their freedom and their equal rights? Like, I don't understand. White people for centuries have painted this country as the land of the free and the home of the goddamn brave, and this is the place where you can come and you can say what you want, and you can, you know, you have the freedom of press, and you can peacefully assemble and protest and do all of these things, and you have the right to say whatever you want to and believe whatever you want to or practice whatever religion you want to. But then when niggas do it, it's like, yeah, nope. No, and don't ask us for no more of it either, because it's not going to happen. I don't understand the problem that you have when these students are... First of all, why is nobody addressing the type of individual that you have to be, the type of hate that you have to have in your heart to literally dabble in shit, mm-hmm, to literally dip your hands in human excrement, to just grab up doo-doo.
All right.
Just to hate, just to spread hatred. Like, what kind of motherfucker, what is going on in your head that you hate people so much,
right,
that you would literally grab shit?
Because I just don't feel that strongly about nobody.
About nobody. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I never will.
Nope.
But you are upset that people are standing up for themselves, mm-hmm, and you are upset that people are making change in a place like, first of all, you already go into this school and you paying your tuition and you go into your goddamn, and these are students who are trying to further their fucking education so you can stop acting like they're stupid or like they're waiting for your goddamn tax money to come in so that they can get their welfare or whatever. These are students who are out here trying to further their education and go on about their goddamn life and mind their motherfucking business and be left alone, but they can't even walk around on campus without feeling like they're going to be shot, without feeling like someone's going to randomly call them a nigger just when they're going to class or going to their dorm, without feeling safe at the place where they are working on bettering themselves. Mm-hmm. And they are fighting for that, crying real tears because we are sick and tired of this bullshit. And you are upset about that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Like, what kind of hate do you have to have in your heart for you to be upset at people fighting for freedom and equal rights? Like I've said, nobody's asking for you to come out here and build a statue of gold in, you know, the likeness of Young Jeezy. Nobody's asking, Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Like, niggas are hardly even asking for, we don't even need our reparations at this point. We just want to live our lives,
yes,
and be respected and be afforded and given the same rights as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That is it. And when we are placed in situations where we're beaten, where we're murdered, where we're threatened, where we're raped, when we are intimidated or antagonized, and we come out together and hold hands and say that this is not right, this is not the country that you say it is, this is not what we don't deserve, we didn't do anything for this, and you come back and you give all of these excuses. Now they talk about Jonathan Butler's dad made $6 million last year because he's a railroad executive. What the fuck that got to do with anything? What does that have to do with him being black and being antagonized and being shit on just because of that? What does that have to do with anything? Because there's plenty of you white motherfuckers who go to these schools and have all these parents who are rich for nothing,
mm-hmm,
and all, that's the only reason that you even made it into the goddamn school. So what are you even talking about? Why is there always an excuse when black people stand up for themselves when we are being mistreated,
right,
when we are being beaten, when we are being told that we ain't shit and we never gonna be shit? If you really want to get into the brass tacks of things, bitch,
right,
what you need to be doing is standing alongside their asses and grabbing you a megaphone, because if it wasn't for us, y'all wouldn't have shit. If it wasn't for slave labor, if it ain't for the black dollar today, you alls would not have shit. I don't understand. We're not even
saying
that.
And they knew that, because when that black ass football team was like, we not playing no more, all of a sudden the black dollar got real.
So really, you're welcome. That's like, you are actually like, you're welcome. And all we need, all we deserve, all we demand really,
mm-hmm,
is that you respect us. And where we live, we're tired of the excuses, we're tired of all of this bullshit, and we're not gonna take it anymore. And black people at Mizzou, black people all across America, globally, don't let any of these honkies,
Lord,
don't let any of them intimidate you or scare you or make you feel like you should shut up. It don't even matter if you black at this point. If you white and you speak up just for something that's right, mm-hmm. just say that shit is wrong.
Yeah.
Because it actually is. They'll say that you're a cop hater. They'll say that you love niggers. Nigga and they'll say that all this shit. And you talking about going back to Africa. What the fuck are you talking about? You brought all these African slaves and people from all over, all these black people from all over the world over here.
You come back.
To build your white houses, for them to build your fucking capitals and all of this shit and pick your agriculture and all this shit. And white people, black people are still spending money
mm-hmm.
in your establishments today. All we want to do is be left the fuck alone and have the same rights as everybody else. And for you to have a problem with that says way more about you than it does about us, than it does about our pants, than it does about our hair, than it does about our food, than it does about our slang, than it does about our music. For you to champion for a motherfucker who is out here antagonizing students
right.
just because of the skin, their skin color in 2015, that says a whole lot about you. You should talk to the God that it is that you claim that you serve, or talk to the devil or whoever it is that you talk to, and figure out whatever it is that's going on in your mind. Because for the life of me, a person with, I think, a functioning brain, mm-hmm. I just don't understand how you get upset at people who demand that they be treated fairly. I don't get it. Like, I don't understand it. When you are upset when your fucking kids go to class and their teacher tell them to open their books to page 52 with attitude. Like, you will complain about everything and anything. Apple Store didn't have the parts. This isn't gluten free. This isn't America. Like, everything. Sweetheart, mm-hmm. all of these amendments, all of these laws, all of these rules, they don't apply to white people. They don't apply to just you. They don't apply to just the rich. And we're tired of it. And I don't give a fuck. You gonna have to come and shoot me then, bitch. You gonna have to come and fight my motherfucking ass, because I'm not bowing down to whiteness. I'm not gonna fucking do it. I'm not going to act like you, just because you white and I'm black, that you're you're the higher priority.
Right.
Or that your feelings or everything, your rights are more important to mine. For what? Because you white?
Right.
For what? When black people built this shit? Not to mention the Indian people who were here before you came. We don't even have to do this again.
None of this is y'all's. None of it.
A million times. None of this shit is y'all's. You didn't work for any of this shit. We ain't even talking about our great-great-grandmamas who took care of your white-ass babies that you had and didn't give a fuck about. We're talking about our ancestors that built all your goddamn buildings. We're not talking about any of them. There are still black women out here who pushing your goddamn babies around in fucking
all
strollers
over Manhattan.
Right here in Lincoln Square every goddamn day. Bitch, you're welcome. So what you can do is shut your whole entire ass up and let these people do what they've got to do to enact change. Mm-hmm. That's it. And so if you want to be treated fairly, if you want to sit out here and fight for your right and your Fifth Amendment and your Fourth and Third and your right to bear arms and all that shit, bitch, we gonna do the exact same thing. Well, because that is what America is. And if you don't like it, go back to Europe. I'm done.
I just want to say that for all the shit y'all talk and all the crying and complaining and all this other bullshit, first of all, if you're not down with the movement, nobody said you had to participate. If you don't like it, if you feel like, oh, well, y'all need to just deal with the racial microaggressions happening on campus, you don't have to stand up and take part of it. You ain't got to criticize niggas when you don't do a goddamn thing. You ain't got to be worried about people who have a goal and want to see some shit change. If that ain't your ministry, then it just ain't. Sit the fuck back and do nothing then, which you do nothing as.
Did you see that video of the young man who's in the cafeteria going off, like preaching?
So.
There was a young black kid, I think, at the same school who was going off, and he was talking about everything that's going on, and there was a white man in the background who was just putting some salt on his food. Like, man, I don't...
This I did not come here for this.
It's like, again, if you're not a part of the movement, that doesn't mean that you have to shit on it. I don't even understand where all of these fucking excuses come from. And nothing you say even makes any goddamn sense. You're just mad that black people are standing up for themselves out of fear that somehow we are going to take this country from
right.
you because you understand and you're completely aware of how your people have wronged ours. Mm-hmm. And we're not sitting up here saying, oh my God, all you bitches should bow down and let, you know, niggas and Beyonce run the world. Just leave us alone and give us our free.
Right.
That's it.
And the thing is, Mizzou doesn't exist in a vacuum. OU is the same way. UT is the same way. Probably every Division I, Division II, probably even Division III, if it's a predominantly white institution, they probably have these same fucking problems. Because when I was at OU, we had the same fuck. It was always some shit going down on campus, white people being racist. I was in college during 9/11, so after that, they started targeting all the Arab Americans. Like, I've seen how y'all act, and I've seen black people on campus mobilize and come together and be like, we're tired of this bullshit and we're not gonna take it anymore. And the solution is not to say, oh well, if y'all don't want to deal with it, then y'all should have gone to an HBCU because we don't have these problems, and so on and so forth. No, y'all may not have these specific problems, but going to an HBCU does not shield you from institutional racism at all, and you will still deal with racism and other bullshit at these schools just like you will anywhere else. You will deal with respectability politics in a whole different way. And most HBCUs, like, just because the struggle is different don't mean you have to say, oh well, take your black ass out of that school anyway and come to a black one. There's nothing wrong with HBCUs, and there's nothing wrong with PWIs. Black people belong at those institutions just like we belong everywhere else. The solution is not, oh well, stop going to white spaces. The solution is white people stop being shitty.
That's not it.
Oh well, don't go to Mizzou, bitch. What if I just want to go to Mizzou? Every state don't have an HBCU. What if you don't want to go that far from home? Like, it's just, there's a million different reasons why you may not necessarily go to one. And
nobody
it
has to explain shit to
you. Don't have to explain a goddamn thing. If you go, especially if you're going in state and the biggest school in the state offers you some sort of scholarship, you ain't got to explain why you're not going to Langston or Howard or Spelman or anywhere else. Like, you don't have to justify your choice in college.
Because you damn sure wouldn't say nothing to me about none of that shit. So right. What the fuck I'm doing?
It's not, oh well, that's y'all's fault for going to a white school. It's black students should not be still dealing with this. These schools have been integrated for how many decades, and white people are still just as clueless. It's like, oh well, we let people of color in now, but we don't actually have to learn anything about them. There's no cultural changes at the school. Nobody's working to make sure that the sense of atmosphere at the school is one that is diverse and inclusive. Like, the sense of atmosphere amongst the students. The student body is not even cohesive at these schools because people feel like they have to section themselves off and go off in different groups with somebody who can understand them. And when you have shit like this going on campus and the administration blatantly does not care, like they don't care at every other fucking school, eventually black kids are gonna get mad.
And
the administration at Mizzou could have stopped this a long time ago if they had appropriately punished the white kids who have been doing this shit for so long.
And then you have this white heifer on this goddamn show talking about black students at school having a perpetual chip on their shoulder.
Oh,
what the fuck do you look at what the fuck's going on?
I'm so proud of these
kids. You need to get out of the mentality that this is your land and your needs and your wants mm-hmm. are first and foremost. That Ooh. This is your country. Because even if you got down to like history, first of all, you're historically way more violent than anybody else is. And you weren't the ones who built this shit or discovered it. Like, I don't even understand right. where any of this comes from. Just get
Y'all
out of the
so
mentality.
Y'all so proud and it's not yours.
It's not yours. Like, none of it's yours. And really, it's like we're trying to approach it as a place that of ours. Like, we're just trying to be include
right.
everyone. No one's even saying that you have to learn about black history. You don't need to go and take African American studies. I don't personally give a fuck about any of that. Respect me as a human being, and I will respect you as a human being. And stop allowing black people to be beaten and shot and killed and raped and assaulted and threatened and antagonized. And then when we want to stand up for ourselves, you make all of these excuses as to why we should sit down
right.
and shut the fuck up. No. We are not going to do that. And I also am very, very proud of these young people at these schools who are standing up and saying, we're not going to do
right.
it. We're not going to do it anymore. Because that shows you the exact direction
mm-hmm.
that this country is going
That's
in.
That's right.
You can't hide no more of this bullshit, even if you fucking wanted to. And so what you're going to have to do is change
yes.
yourself.
The movement that started with action against police brutality is only spreading. These young people are energized and mobilized. They care. They're way more politically involved, and they want to be part of change. They don't want to have to go through the same shit that they see their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents went through, and they shouldn't have to. Black people have been in America too long to still be struggling. Why are we still going through this with y'all? Like, it is fucking 2015, and we are still dealing with racism in this country. That's
Ain't
still,
you tired?
Like, white people, y'all not tired of being racist? It doesn't exhaust you even a little bit?
Like, wouldn't it take way less
Jesus.
Energy, physically and emotionally, for you to just respect human beings and mind your goddamn business than it would for you to right. take a shit and spread it across the walls, for you to be hanging nooses around campuses in the goddamn, in the yes. 2015? Wouldn't it take way less from you for you to just chill the fuck out and right. let people live? I don't understand what type of person you have to be. But again, nobody's backing down. I personally am not afraid of you. I'm not worried about you. You can come see me. I don't give a fuck. So it is what it is. Black people are not going anywhere.
Right.
Like, we're not going anywhere. We should not have to go anywhere. If you so fucking concerned with Africa, why don't you go ahead and get you a couple of shots and take your ass on over there? Hopefully you have figured out that it's a continent and not a country, and you go feed some people. Why don't you do that since you so concerned? You yeah. should. Shit. Since you stole so many of their goddamn ancestors and made them come over here and make your goddamn dresses and take care of your fucking pale ass babies and shit.
Jesus. All right. So that wraps up another episode of The Read. Make sure you follow us at This Is The Read on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And check out our website, thisistheread.com, for links to every episode and live show dates and bios and all that sort of thing. Also, don't forget about our dope sponsors over at Third Love. Third Love's 24/7 t-shirt bra is the most comfortable bra I've ever owned. It's made out of an amazing memory foam that molds to your shape and gives you the perfect fit. They stand behind the product so much that they're letting you guys try it for free for 30 days. If you love it, you can keep it and they'll charge you. If you're not, send it back and it won't be. Start your free trial now at www.thirdlove.com/read.
You have like a fancy mattress for your titties.
It is. I mean, you know, it's like, it is. It's like a memory foam mattress for your titties. It supports and lifts, but also smooths. It's comfortable because I don't know how much you know about bras, but like the hook situation in the back, that can be like a real irritant. And so
I just don't even know why you have to go through
thirdlove.com/read. Oh my God. And yesterday Wax asked me for a wrap, a blunt wrap. And I was like, I don't just carry blunt wraps. Like, why would I have one?
Every time I see him.
Oh, well, you got titties. Why you don't have no wraps? I'm like, nigga, really? Because these aren't detachable. If I could leave my titties at home, I would. Well, you wouldn't be staring at them like, are you joking right now? So, but anyway.
Comic goals.
When you have breasts, you need to take care of them. It's something people only with breasts can understand. So, yeah. Thirdlove.com/read. Start your trial today. You have any news this week, Kid Fury? What's up with you?
I feel like everything with me is pretty much the same. I can't think of anything.
Okay. Charlotte, we'll see you guys on Sunday. So excited to come back. Last show we did in Charlotte was quite fun. So looking forward to seeing you guys again.
That's right. We're coming to North Carolina. Bring it.
We are. So it's going to be a good time. Is that it? Do you have an acronym for this week or no?
IMP.
Internet Man Peace.
It's like you don't give a fuck. You just think of whatever.
How would I know? How am I supposed to know what's in your head?
That's a good point. I miss pizza.
Are you going to tell the people anything at all about what you're going through? Like,
I have IBS.
Wow. I didn't expect you to tell them. I thought you were just going to be like, I can't eat anything. Like, you can't have onion or garlic, y'all. Isn't that the worst?
Yeah, it sucks pretty bad.
Oh my God. Onion and garlic isn't everything good. I'm so sorry.
Everything. I thought it was going to be like the chocolate and all of these other like fat things that were really going to fuck with me. It's the fact that I cook my chicken and it's the color of Drake and I don't know how to
You got to eat chicken like white people. Damn.
I have to use like fresh herbs and like I can use like garlic infused cooking oil, which kind of like
kind of works. A little flavor.
Almost kind of works. But I got to put that shit under there, under that broiler, because I need my shit to at least be tan.
It's at least you ain't got to give up Beyonce. Salt.
Like, it's got to be some kind of brown.
I mean, it just ain't no, I mean, no garlic. Or,
garlic and onion is the hardest part. But yeah, I think it has you. A lot to do with my grandmother passing, and at least that's what they're telling me anyway. So hopefully.
Stressed out in this sort of thing.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hopefully you feel better soon. I know that we're cooking, Kia and I are cooking Thanksgiving dinner. We might have to just get you, like, I don't know, some oat bran. What can you have?
Prayer.
Okay. A banana, maybe? I don't know.
Prayer works.
We'll try to figure it out. So I guess that wraps up the show for this week.
Sure.
Yes, no, all right. We will see y'all next week.